much about.
You got to put it in perspective.
What's up, Everett? What's up, Everett? I'm going to go and walk around and among these. Hey, everybody. Beer Mug here at the last. Hey, everybody. Hey, everybody. Beer Mug here.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy.
Four, five, six.
B.I.G. Ah!
Hi, I'm Dewan Amir Johnson from Los Angeles, California. I'm currently single. I'm 27 years old, and I'm looking for a white Christian lady who lives out in the San Pedro area. I'm ages from 18 to 35 years old. That's very skinny, and that's go on vacations, go to the beach, listen to the Kevin DeBean show, watch 90210, party, get together.
Okay. I give up. I think we should move on to our next guest.
And now.
Mike and Bean?
Mike and Bean. Yeah, Mike and Bean.
Our feature presentation.
Can I start calling myself Mike now, if that's the case?
Yeah.
I guess. Mm-hmm. We don't have any more mics on the show, so I guess the name's open. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah, Regis was very happy to think of that name, of that popular show that he'd been on the West Coast several times.
Yeah.
Mike and Bean.
Yeah, he's been on a show. We met him 4 times, maybe?
Yeah, something like
but
that.
He's getting old. What does he care?
I know.
You know?
I know. He's barely trying.
And I'm not a big fan of the name Kevin because it's always the dunce. You know, you look at the guy in the office and you go, come on. Can't you give me any one of the other characters?
Did you ever think that maybe the people who write The Office might listen to this show and that's why the name is Kevin?
Don't
you ever think about that?
Ridiculous.
May not be the other way around. Just saying. Hey, party people, it is Tuesday. It is the 5th of Aprilingus. How you doing, Lisa?
I'm fine. Is this going to happen all month?
Yes, it is.
All right.
How can I not think of you? Kevin, you watch your one shining moment last night?
I did not. No, I was watching the Los Angeles Kings get destroyed. Wait, hold on one second, Pete. I'm sorry. Oh, yep, another goal for the Sharks.
What's going on with their playoff hopes? There's how many games left? Two?
I think there's like 4 games left. The Sharks clinched when they beat us. And I think we play Wednesday. It's one of those where it comes right down to the very last week.
Yeah.
So it's very exciting, but the Sharks look good. And the Kings did not look good. So
there are other races just like that. I know the Rangers just went ahead of Buffalo last night with their win. And it's, you know, at this point, it's every game counts. And, you know, I mean, literally someone's going on and someone's going home in a lot of these divisions.
It's crazy and always exciting when it gets down to this time of any sport.
Yep.
It doesn't matter what sport it is. You play even baseball, which I hate. You play 160 games, right?
162, right.
All right. So sometimes it could come down to a game.
Right.
And you go, wow, you practiced 161 games, and literally it's just writing on this one.
Yep.
So it gets down like that a lot in the playoffs and just before the playoffs. And the NBA, you know, they're all trying to, you know, make the playoff and get the home court advantage. But
yeah, they're all doing math. They're like, okay, we got 6 games left. What do we, who do we have to beat?
Yep.
Speaking of sports, I want to start with this story. You may not recognize the name Lou Murphy, Lewis Murphy Jr. He was a huge college football star in Florida. He played for the Gators, and now he's an Oakland Raider. Tell me if you're a Raider and you're going to get arrested, it's got to be badass, right?
Absolutely. It's not something you could go back and tell people and they go, wow, what a wuss.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, honestly, I think to be on the Oakland Raiders, you got to at least have that tattooed teardrop on your eye. I mean, come on. He was driving around in Gainesville, Florida, in his Cadillac Escalade. He was pulled over because he had a stereo playing too loudly. Okay, already, that's a weenie thing to get pulled over for if you're a freaking Raider.
That's on the cop, too. Your stereo's too loud in your car.
I don't know why. I don't know how any police department in this country has the time to pull somebody over because their stereo is too loud. I really, really don't.
I think they've really stepped up the let's write as many tickets as we can for as many little things as we can to try and raise some money.
Because they need the money.
Yep.
Exactly, yeah. So the cop, you know, puts on his lights, gets Murphy to pull over. Murphy continues driving into a city parking lot where he and his passengers got out of their SUV and walked away. So the officer orders Murphy and his passengers to stop. Murphy refused to present identification. So now we're getting into weenie problem number 2. Look, you got pulled. The guy was trying to get you to turn down your radio. Now he's asking to see your ID. Why are you creating more trouble for yourself by refusing to show him ID?
So wait, the guy that was driving was walking away from the cop just as if he was going to keep walking?
Yes, forever? Exactly. He's just going to abandon his car and just walk. Hey, he's probably rich. He can just go buy another car.
He didn't ever
need to come back for this. Right. So he refuses to show ID. So then the police calls for backup and says, look, if you're not going to show ID, we're going to have to arrest you. All right. So now it's just getting worse. Now it's just like you're asking for trouble at this point.
Yeah, right? And however annoyed you are, you get your ID and show it to him.
Exactly. So a couple other cops show up, and the three of them manage to get the guys, get the guy arrested, put the handcuffs behind his back. He's, by the way, 6'2", 180 pounds. So then they search his vehicle, and they find a non-labeled prescription bottle in his car. So now it's getting worse. Now you've gone from, oh, sorry, officer, I'll turn it down, to, oh, sorry, officer, here's my license, I'll move along now, to, now there's drugs in your car, okay?
Right.
Non-labeled prescription bottle. Oakland Raider. What's the drug?
What is the drug? I would say it's some type of steroid is what I would say.
You are correct. Viagra.
Yay!
Viagra.
They say, hey, there's no label on this bottle, sir. What's up with that? You know, you have to have a prescription to have drugs in this country. He's like, well, I peeled the label off the bottle because I didn't want my girlfriend to know that I had a prescription for Viagra. And I'm just thinking, how could it get worse for this guy? How could this guy continue to make these choices that are going to get him nothing but made fun of for the rest of his life playing football?
Oh, my God, you're such a girl.
Yeah, that doesn't fit in with the Raider mentality.
No. So when you go back, when the season starts and you walk into the locker room, they're going to have plenty to make fun of this guy about, right?
Forever. Forever.
Driving around with his Viagra in his car. That's hilarious.
We were in... All right, sir.
Raiders.
All right.
See, I'm telling you, they're already starting.
It's not all the Raiders. This guy is going to get his ass beat. You know that.
Yes, he is.
Just for being a bad representative. I remember being in Tijuana, and don't ask for a lot of details because I don't remember a lot of details.
Okay.
But we were in Tijuana, and we convinced Bean to take a Viagra.
I do remember that.
And all he got was a headache.
I did get a headache, yeah.
Just his upper one. That's it. That's all he got, headache.
That was the one and only time I'm ever gonna do that. I don't know how you talked me into that either.
I don't either. Those were back in the days when we sort of could talk you into stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I was surprised as anyone, but we went to one of the pharmacies and we bought the Viagra and we gave it to Bean, took it, and he's like, I don't feel anything, but my head's starting to hurt.
We were broadcasting from down there, and it was at the time, and is still very popular to go down there and buy things you need a prescription for just over the counter. So you can just walk in and get it. They don't really ask for a lot of a doctor verification. But that was a big mistake.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't that bad, was it? Just kind of faded?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, eventually. Was that the same trip, Lisa, where you got the world's saddest lap dance?
Oh, yeah.
I believe it was.
Oh, yeah. Did we do that on purpose when we saw her? Or did we just get the next person?
No, I don't think we knew that she was going to be so sad and so dumpy.
But it made it so much better.
A girl came over and, hey, you want to dance for our friend here, for Lisa? And she started dancing. And then you can kind of read it. You can read their entire life.
Yeah.
Yes.
By looking at them and watching their dance. And you just go, wow.
Felt really, really crappy.
Sad. She's got some really bad tattoos. And
she wasn't enjoying the dance, I'll tell you that.
C-section. Nor was I.
She's got a C-section scar. And goop coming out of her eyes. It's like, this is a sad lap dance.
It was awful.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Mr. Stupid Head, at your service.
Dave Grohl.
Yes.
Oh, really? Just Dave Grohl on the
How
show
about
today?
That? Okay. Isn't that enough? Dave Grohl and James Mole. I'm sorry, I'm not positive how to say that, about the new Foo Fighters documentary, Foo Fighters Back and Forth, which Dave Grohl calls the Dumb and Dumber of rockumentaries. So we got that today. I'm very excited about that. We have You Met Your Hero, and you were disappointed.
That happens a lot.
Happens a lot. You build up in your mind, they must be the perfect person. They must be great. I like this about them, that. But you don't meet them in person. And when you do, it doesn't always hold up. So apparently there was a 12-year-old Sting fan, Ralph told us yesterday, wanted an autograph from Sting, a 12-year-old. And Sting just said, it's not me.
Denied who he was?
Just kept walking. I'm not going to give you an autograph. I'm not Sting. So, you know, that kid was probably like, okay, this sucks.
I don't like him anymore.
Petros Papadakis talking about the Final Four last night. We have, we're going to tell you about the David Bowie app, which we think you'll like. We're going to talk to Miss Double December.
Yes.
Christine. Who may be crazy. Not sure. Yeah. We need to talk her into or out of something. I'm not sure. The story changed a lot yesterday. Ask a dream interpreter. We do these ask-us from time to time. So if you have a dream, and especially a lot of times they're recurring dreams, you can run it by them, and they're supposed to be able to kind of guide you in the direction of what this means. It does have a meaning, and they can kind of help you figure out what it is.
Okay.
Or make something up to sell a book.
Right. Either way. Either way. We also have Thanks for the Info Bean on today's show. How about
always
that?
Always good.
Always good.
Yes.
That's where you make up stuff that I allegedly say during the show?
Yes, it is. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat. That is next.
Rise Against on the way. Also, some Red Hot Chili Peppers, Cage the Elephant, Papa Roach, and Dave Grohl himself in our studio this morning. Coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Ralph Garman, how are you, man?
Screw you. You're not Busey.
Oh, you're so sad that no one
else is Busey. You're not Busey either. Shut up.
None of us are.
That's right. That's why this world sucks. That's why there's no point in going on. Never be Busey.
My wife, Debbie, what's her name?
Donna.
Donna, right. Last night she says, hey, you had Gary Busey on. I know you were excited about that. How did that go? And I said, it was life-changing because the guy is a Zen master, first of all, and makes an unbelievable amount of sense. And now I feel like an a-hole that I've been doing nothing but making fun of how dumb he is and how retarded he is and how brain damaged he must be because he came in and he just schooled me and made me realize that I know nothing and he knows everything.
Now you've seen the light.
Now I have seen the light, and I am in the Church of Busey. Now
you've been Bused.
And she just looked at me like I was crazy. She's like, you know you're talking about Gary Busey, right? And like, look, you had to be there.
Yep. Well, I hope you beat her the way she deserves.
I don't think that's what Gary would have recommended, so I'm not going to do that.
Remember, Bean has his bracelet that says, what would Gary do?
That's true. Yeah. I got to look down, right?
One of my favorite days ever yesterday.
It was something else.
That was like, remember when we had Mr. T come in?
Yep.
It's like, Mr. T, has been from the 80s, Mr. T. Came in, just rocked our worlds.
Have we ever been in less control than we were yesterday with Gary Busey? Like,
you don't control Busey.
He called the shots.
Why don't you try to control the sun, Kevin? Why don't you just put that in a little cage? Why don't you just put that in your pocket?
We're able to at least corral our guests for the most, I'd say 98% of the time.
That's because most of our guests are weak. That's why. Yeah. Busey is strong.
Why don't you go outside and yell at a tsunami, Kevin? Same difference.
Yeah.
Might as well. Good stuff. All right, let me give away some passes before I get to showbiz news. I've got passes to the red carpet world premiere of Scream 4.
Yay!
Now, keep in mind, this isn't just some, hey, come on down to this theater, we'll show you the movie kind of event. This is the red carpet world premiere. This is where all the stars come to see their movie for the first time in these United States. Neve Campbell, Courtney Cox, David Arquette from the original trilogy, as well as Emma Roberts, Hayden Panettiere, Rory Culkin, Anthony Anderson, Adam Brody. This is the new cast for Scream 4. If you'd like to go, I've got three pairs of passes right now. 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. All happens at Grandma's Chinese Theater on Monday, April the 11th, and then it's in theaters on Friday, April the 15th. In case you don't win, you can still check out Scream 4.
Seems like a lot of parodies came in the wake of the Scream franchise and weren't nearly as good as Scream was.
Yeah. Well, Scream was never a parody.
It was a real horror movie,
but with humor. And a lot of people picked up on the humor and ran with it and then left sort of the real scares behind.
And it's been long enough. You don't get the feeling that this one was churned out just because they had a hit with it last year and they needed to make another one. It seems like they've had time to work on this and make it good.
Yeah, but this is written by the guy who created the series, Kevin Williamson.
Oh, he's
and
great.
Directed by Wes Craven, legendary horror master. So it's the original creative team's back on track, too. So.
They weren't on
two or three.
Yeah, that's right.
Remember back in the day when the Farrelly brothers were talking about doing a Three Stooges movie?
Yes.
And we were like, this sounds like a weak idea at best. And then they taunted us by saying, well, we're going to get Sean Penn as Larry and Jim Carrey as Curly and Benicio Del Toro as Mo. And we said, still a bad idea, yet now I'm interested. Because this could be...
Two out of three of those actors seem odd choices.
Right, and that would be fascinating to watch them do physical slapstick comedy. Well, the whole thing is just spun out of control now, and now apparently it's an episode of The Love Boat.
Oh, no.
With the casting news. So far, Curly, it has been announced, will be played by actor Will Sasso. That's what I said. Then I realized he was the heavyset fella from Mad TV. Was on that for many seasons.
Okay.
Currently, I believe he can be seen on Bleep My Dad Says.
Okay.
The William Shatner series. So you can check him out as Curly. And it was announced yesterday that Larry will be played by Sean Hayes. You may remember him from Will and Grace.
Oh, yeah, he was a gay guy.
He played Jack the gay guy well, you know, Will was gay too, but Jack gay. He will play Larry in the Three Stooges film.
That's a bit of a step down from, you know.
From Sean Penn, do you think?
From Sean Penn and Benicio del Toro.
That's so far two of the three cast members of the new Three Stooges movie. Now it's become like some bad biopic on Lifetime or something. It's just disintegrated into a project now I have no interest in whatsoever.
Did Sean Hayes play, I seem to remember him playing Jerry Lewis in something too, Ralph?
Yes, good call, Bean.
He was really good at it.
I think it was a biopic about Jerry Lewis. I think they did a miniseries or something on TV. He played Jerry Lewis.
Yeah. I thought he was good in that.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe. I mean, I was never a Will and Grace fan, but the guy's got some talent.
Yes. Look, he was on Broadway, too, did a good job, and he was a host of the Tony Awards.
This seems to me like it is a writing issue. They need to write this brilliantly.
Well, look, the Farrelly brothers are capable of doing great comedy. We all remember Something About Mary and those other films. But I don't know. At this point, you'd almost be better off than doing an original film, I think, rather than basing it on the Three Stooges.
Although,
because the people who love the Stooges, like myself, I know you're not a fan, Kevin, but if you're a Stooge fan, those personalities are so indelible. They've made such an imprint on those roles that anything you see, you're going to compare them to, and I think you're going to fall short.
But I would guess most of the younger audience has never seen that.
Right, so my point being, then why even bother?
No.
You know, is there a big demand for Stooge Mania right now? Probably not. So why not just go out and do something original? And this way you don't have to carry the baggage even with those who do know about the Stooges, right?
I got you.
So we'll see what happens. More movie news. Finally, Jaden Smith is getting just what he deserves. Will Smith's son, who has been fed with a golden spoon and provided with a film career by his father, Will Smith.
Did they give him an Oscar in the offseason?
They didn't. Although it's coming, I'm sure, but not for this film. Just announced that Will Smith and his son Jaden will both be starring in an upcoming science fiction film written and directed by M. Night Shyamalan.
Nope.
Suck it, Will Smith.
Nope.
Now you're in an M. Night Shyamalan movie. How do you like it now?
Nope.
Bad enough he said he's taking his son with him. That's child abuse.
This is a weird thing. We haven't seen that this strong in a long, long time. Maybe not ever. Where the
nepotism?
Where the adult just forces their kid on you.
You will love my children.
And he's in a position to do it as one of the biggest movie stars in the world.
Yeah. Right?
My God.
The plot apparently will have a young child, Jaden, looking for a spaceship that's crashed on an abandoned planet with his father on board.
Nope.
I just hope one of the aliens is whipping her hair back and forth. That's all I care about when he finally gets there.
As they do.
The Charlie Sheen tour continues tonight. Playhouse Square in Cleveland, Ohio. The violent torpedo of truth, defeat is not an option tour continues. No word yet on ticket sales or how he will be accepted or not by the audience. We can only hope for the worst.
I said two live shows.
I said two live crew.
Ralph said 10 shows before he quits.
Yeah, I did.
Dean said all. So I'm out.
You could be out. Well, depends. Hey, look, he's not on stage yet.
Yeah.
Anything's possible with Charlie. But I know one of the reasons people were disappointed on opening night in Chicago, or Detroit rather, was that they were promised Snoop Dogg. Apparently Snoop and Charlie have become buddies.
Okay, and
since they recorded a project together, and Charlie said Snoop would make an appearance in Detroit.
That's pretty cool.
Didn't come to pass.
Uh-huh. So hey, you know the thing about Snoop? He's not coming.
Charlie's still dangling that perhaps he might join later in the tour show for a show or two. So we'll see what happens.
Let's start doing that on our show. And today, Snoop.
Maybe. And Denise Richards, Charlie's ex, who seems now to be the sane one in all of this, by the way. Mm-hmm. Who'd have thought we ever would say that?
No one.
Yeah. She's apparently got some puppy problems. She's got a new puppy. And apparently she has already chewed up her Fendi purse.
Good.
I don't know much about high-end purses, but I'm assuming Fendi is a good one, Lisa?
Pretty expensive.
Pretty expensive. Yeah, and she's already ruined a $25,000 rug with the poop and the pee in that store.
Wow!
And really, anytime I hear a story about a bad puppy, I think about the same thing as I do about bad children. There are no bad puppies or no bad children. It's just bad parents.
Bad owners.
And bad owners.
Yep.
So this is all on Denise Richards. So she gets what she deserves. She is not a goddess. She does not have Tiger blood. That's what I'm saying.
Although, if you saw those new bikini photos that came out over the weekend, Ralph, she is maybe a goddess.
Yeah, she looks pretty good. She looks good. Don't get me wrong. And little did we know that Dancing with the Stars really this year was Dancing with Rehab.
Huh?
Apparently, there were five former drug addicts on this season's Dancing with Stars. Our own Psycho Mike.
Right.
Who had his battle with heroin that he conquered. But Kendra Wilkinson, at one time addicted to cocaine.
Okay. Oh,
Kirstie Alley, at one time addicted to cocaine.
And food.
Wow. Still addicted to food. Oh. Sugar Ray Leonard, at one time addicted to cocaine. Wendy Williams, at one time addicted to cocaine.
Wow.
Well, no wonder Mike didn't fit in. He was shooting up. The rest of the cast was doing blow. They don't like those people. Those heroin people they're a drag to be around when you're all hopped up on blow. Why are they booted him off?
By the way, I'm out on Dancing with the Stars, and I'm sure now that you're a woman, Ralph, you're probably still watching it. But
I'm not.
Oh, really? You really are? Because you started to enjoy it a little bit watching it the last few episodes, I thought.
Yeah, well.
It is but apparently I can see why people like it.
Yeah. Apparently, I didn't watch last night, but I've seen the headlines this morning that Kirstie Alley took a very serious fall. Do you know anything about that from last night's show?
It was her partner.
Maxim fell?
Maxim, his thigh gave out, and I'm not kidding. I think he was trying to support her weight in a move.
Awesome.
And his leg gave
just snapped.
Out. And he just went down hard.
Fail!
And they could see.
Epic fail.
You can watch the video clip online. You can see that he is struggling in pain for the remainder of the dance.
Oh, my gosh.
So,
well, he's not the Hulk. He can't lift her.
No word yet on how serious the condition is, but.
Wow.
Apparently, she ground his bones to powder. That's what I heard. So, what do I mean? Today's celebrity birthdays, director Roger Corman, my former boss. Roger Corman, legendary producer and director, 85 years old today. For 85, how sharp is Roger Corman?
Very sharp.
Yep.
Yeah.
Actor Mitch Pileggi, our buddy Mitch Pileggi from X-Files.
I love him.
I miss Mitch. He's 59 years old today. And rapper producer Pharrell Williams celebrates his 38th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Who saw Christine Miss Double December 2011 at the show Saturday night?
Of course. How could you miss her?
How could you?
Right? Does she get prettier every single time we see her?
She really is stunning.
Yes is the answer to that.
We need to start making up events that we can get her to come to because she comes to them and
just
it's awesome.
Just fake things? Really. Just like, hey, we're going to be shopping.
It's Double D Wednesday.
That's right. We're going to be at the Target store. Come on down. Anyway, she joins us. She has some things going on in her personal life that we need to discuss with her coming up in about 50 minutes or so right here on an all-new Kevin and Bean show for Tuesday.
First, it's time for...
Thanks for that info, Bean.
How dare you?
Bean has Asperger's, and one of the things that shows up when you have Asperger's is that you have zero ability to judge how what you're saying is being received by the person you're talking to.
Right.
You don't know if they're mad, they're happy, they're excited, they're into it, they're bored. You can't get a sense of that.
There's no empathy whatsoever with your audience.
So you just run off at the mouth, basically. You just say things, and then you either just hope that they are interested or you don't care. One of the two.
I get the sense Bean just doesn't care anymore.
I do, too.
Yeah.
Or another definition, by the way, is you've got a guy who tries really hard to have conversation with his coworkers to make the time pass and have interesting talks, and his coworkers all shine him.
Yeah,
or that happens.
We don't have time for it now, but we really need to sit you down and give you a strong definition of the word conversation. Usually it's two ways. That's how I always learned it.
How many times have I told you guys, and I'm sure you're going to read some bogus examples of things I allegedly
said. I write
them
down verbatim.
But how many times have I told you guys that there would never be any conversation unless somebody started it? Somebody has to begin the conversation.
Here's the difference.
And sometimes I'm that guy.
No. Here's the difference. When you start a conversation, it's something that other people are interested in, and it has some place to go.
Right.
A lot of times you'll say something, and it's just a sentence.
A statement of banal facts is not a conversation starter, is what we're saying.
There's no way to continue a conversation with some of the things that you say here.
All right. What are you complaining about this week?
All right. Being in San Francisco when he was broadcasting from Live 105 one day a couple of weeks ago, and this is what he said. there's a 7-Eleven on Market Street here now.
Okay, now, that's Bean starting the conversation.
You're right, Bean. Our bad. We should have jumped right in there and finished that conversation with you.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize. I always thought it was one street over.
Oh, Market Street has been so devoid of 7-Elevens for so long.
So then no one says anything. I write down nothing. And then Bean continues. That never dampens his enthusiasm. Never. There wasn't one when I lived here.
That's why I brought it up, because to me, and you guys know how much I love 7-Eleven. You know, I planned my day and my life around 7-Eleven.
Yeah.
It was a huge deal to me.
That's 7-Eleven. FOB.
And yet you know how not interested we are in 7-Elevens.
See,
if
that's 7-Eleven.
That's our point. That, and then you start a conversation about 7-Elevens on Market Street, knowing we don't give a rat's ass.
If that 7-Eleven had been there when I lived and worked in San Francisco, I could have walked there from where my office
was. That's not a conversation.
It was huge for me.
That's something of a note to yourself. Hey, that would have been cool. It's not something to say out loud. So Mike tries to talk, and I make him stop.
Up for you.
So he stops, and then there's a pause, and then there's a longer pause, and then there's a longer pause. And then Bean says, see, I know how to appreciate a city.
Thanks for that info, Bean.
I wish I were at that 7-Eleven right now.
Here's one that doesn't exactly lend itself to conversation. This is two of Bean's crushes. Sarah Shahi's birthday is one day after Rachel Nichols' birthday. No one said anything. Bean said, that's exciting. And then Ralph said, F you.
Thanks for that info, Bean.
Right. Now, that is not a conversation starter.
Perhaps that is useful. Perhaps. Maybe that's an inside thought, maybe.
Yeah.
No.
These are all inside thoughts.
Dr. Bean. Icebreaker, that's, you're the man. You're the guy I want to bring to the party.
This is the perfect Bean-ism. This is the perfect thanks for that info, Bean. Why is chocolate milk so good? Now, there's nowhere to go with that. So then Lisa says, and she's upset, I can't answer that because I'm not five. And then Psycho Mike says, chocolate milk is good because it's chocolate and milk. And then Lisa and Mike talk for 15 minutes about chocolate milk.
Oh,
it's a disaster.
Jesus. See, that's my problem with it, is it's infectious sometimes.
Yeah, it's a disaster.
It's like a contagious virus.
The rule is, don't talk to Bean when he says stuff like that. Even if he happens to stumble on something interesting. Because when he stumbles on something interesting and you respond, that gives him another 6 months of non-interest.
Do not engage. It's like looking at a gorilla in the eyes in the wild. No good can come from it.
But there have to have been times, Ralph, where you've been enjoying a meal or a beverage or something like that, where in conversation you've said to your friends or family how delicious it was. You've said, hey, this is the best steak I've ever had, or some variation of that.
I may have said that, but you know what I've never said? Why is this steak so good?
Right.
Expecting some of the table to come up with an answer.
That's a statement. A statement that this is a great steak is very different than why is chocolate milk so good, because there's no answer.
It's not the topic, then. You're saying it's my phrasing is what's the question.
It's a lot. For that particular one, it was your phrasing, yeah. This one that happened about a week ago at the very end of March. I just bought Omar's Christmas gift this past weekend. Already in March. So no one says anything. The Mean says, it's really great. He's so fishing for somebody to say
something. When he has conversations with himself. That's what he means by conversation.
Thanks for that info, Bean.
I was just happy.
All of these topics, again, out of the blue. We're not talking about, for example, the next one. We weren't talking about baseball. We weren't talking about it.
He just
comes out of the blue and says, I don't like the fact that baseball starts on a Thursday night. And then no one said anything. And he said, they used to start on Sunday night and then continue with a full schedule of games on Monday.
Okay. All of us are sports fans.
Thanks
on this show.
Info, Bean.
We don't need
have a lot of conversation about sports. It was opening freaking
day of
the baseball season. Uh-huh. At least Beer Mug's a baseball fan. Yeah. He's got my back on that.
Doesn't give a rat's ass about when the season started. I guarantee you.
I don't like it on a Thursday.
Whoever loves baseball is probably happy at that first game. It doesn't matter the day or time.
They never noticed.
I hate to see the tradition upended.
Thanks for that info,
Bean. I just got another email asking to see the picture I bought of corn.
Remember that, Ralph?
Oh, how can I forget?
This is like 6 months later. He's still trying to justify.
Their patron of the arts was giving money to a guy who takes pictures only of corn.
Not the band, by the way.
No,
the vegetable.
And finally, and maybe the best, I don't know if this is true.
I always like when he starts that way.
But the word facetious is the only word spelled with A, E, I, O, and U in that order.
Holy crap.
Now that's that info beam.
That's interesting, interesting.
That's
fact.
That info beam.
Right?
A, E, I, O, U in that order.
In that order, in that word. That's the only word. That's amazing.
I want to find the person that ever bothered to
figure that out
and then beat you to death with that person.
What?
You're going to beat me with the person?
Yes.
You're going to use that person as a weapon?
That's exactly what I'm going
Bean
to do.
What if Bean figured it out?
I didn't figure himself? It out. I didn't figure it out. Somebody smarter than I came up with that one.
Where did you expect us to go with that one, Bean?
Wow, that's really interesting. I never thought about that.
No.
That's
not going to happen.
Oh, I know this song.
Yes, you do. And you like it.
I'm moist.
Here she comes. She's our Miss Double December.
She got big ass boobies.
She's an angel, and just look at those cans.
I love boobies.
She's got big guns, baby. She's got the hoots. Boy, how she gets me excited. Hey, look, my is hard.
The beautiful Christine, Miss Double December 2011, joins us on the phone on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. How are you, Christine?
Good morning, guys. I'm good, thanks.
Did you have a good night on Saturday night?
Yes, thank you so much. That was so much fun.
The Miss Double December pageant, for folks who don't remember, is the pageant that we do around Christmas time every year where we crown a girl to represent the show and come to all of the Kevin and Bean events throughout the calendar year. So, of course, April Foolishness is one of those. And let me tell you something about Miss Double December. She enjoyed the hell out of that comedy on Saturday night.
That was funny.
I mean, you were laughing. You were dying. You were one of those people who was laughing so hard you were crying. It was actually a lot of fun to watch. Though I spent more time watching you than I did watching the guys on stage. I tell you,
that's a bad choice.
Tell me about this. Tell me about this guy that got to bring you to the show. What was that all about, Christine? Is there something going on there?
One of my friends. No. I'm still single.
How much must that kill him to take you somewhere as a friend?
No, it was good.
Sure, for you, Christine.
If you don't think he's spending every minute of every single day trying to figure out how to have sex with you, then you don't know him.
No, we're just friends.
Yeah.
Yes. No, I have guy friends, too.
Yes, you do, and they all want to have sex with you.
Who was that, I have to ask before we move on to the topic at hand, who was that unbelievably good-looking guy that was sitting on the other side of you on Saturday night?
Oh, that's right.
That was me. Wow. That's right. I forgot. I was the guy who was sitting back
fishing for a compliment.
All right. What's the deal that the King of Mexico told us about the conversation that you had with him about some surgery that may or may not be happening this week, Christine? What's going on in your pretty little head?
Well, I had wanted to get my boobs bigger. And so
mind you, she is our Miss Double December.
Yeah.
So Double D is what she's starting with for pre-surgery.
Yes, I love them. I love them.
So
I've gone to consultations. Yeah, that's what they would say. I would go there, and they're like, "Oh yeah, they're beautiful. They're beautiful."
Right.
And I was like, "Yeah. I'm just interested in maybe getting them bigger." And so I don't know. It's hard because.
Yes,
like some people
is.
Are just like, no.
Now, but Christine, you have to tell me, you already have double Ds, which is, you know, most women will say that's bigger than they would be comfortable with, or certainly at the upper limit of what's easy to work with. What's going on in your head that makes you think that you want them to be bigger? Why? How are they not big enough? What is it you're trying to do that they're not big enough for?
Yeah, no, I'm not trying to look like a blow up doll or anything.
And you're not
I think I just wanted them like a little bit more.
You're not getting any attention right now.
Yeah, I'm like, with the double D's. More attention.
This is really odd to me because it seems like double D
and everything's going well, and you want to make them see there's a point that you're going to cross where it's super hot, super hot, super hot, a little a little circusy,
right?
And now you're in clown world.
I don't want to be that like overdone. Like I said, like blow up doll, like where it's just over the top. So I don't think, like, I would never do anything I couldn't play down, but that's why I'm just not sure. Like, I was, like, it's actually good because it's good to hear that, like, a lot of guys and stuff, too, are just like, no, like, you don't have to do that. And,
well,
like,
the truth is, Christine, for folks who haven't seen her, and by the way, there are plenty of pictures up at KevinAndMe.com, and Christine wrote a nice review with a lot of photos from April Foolishness on Saturday night. She actually put a post up on the website that you ought to check out. She's not one of these big girls who has big boobs. She's one of these super, curvy girls that has big boobs. I mean, she has a phenomenal figure, and the breasts are perfect on her.
Yeah,
it's not like she's trying to compensate because she's big everywhere else, so she needs bigger boobs. That's not the case with Christine. If they were any bigger, I think she might fall down.
That's true.
That's my fear.
I'm not sure because I'm like, oh, I don't want to.
You might need a cane. You might need a cane or a walker.
Christine, how long have you had the double D's?
I think like 2 years now.
2 years,
maybe
and what?
A little over a year.
Well, you got to trade up.
What did you have before you got the double D's?
I had about like a C, like probably a small C.
Oh, you must have been so ugly. You must have been so hideous.
Oh,
B. That was disgusting.
What a dog.
Unworthy.
All right, so double D's is where you're at right now, and you are thinking about going bigger, but you've gotten so much blowback from people that you've mentioned it to that now you don't know what to do. Where do you think you're at right now? Because your surgery date was coming up, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Can I suggest something?
I
haven't
totally. I feel in good hands and everything.
Yeah.
I haven't
had this conversation with you yet, Christine. This is Kevin.
Yeah, I know. I missed you.
Our policy is God smiles. God smiles every time somebody gets bigger boobs. You know that, right? an angel is born. But you're great the way you are.
Thank you.
You really are. I mean, you don't need. It would almost be distracting for you to go up.
I think so too. I mean, people would never see your face again.
Yeah,
they barely see it now, and it's worth seeing.
And by the way, just getting clothes to fit.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a bit of a challenge now, I imagine.
Squeeze everything.
All right, yeah. Listen. Don't do this.
Yeah, you don't want just a chin rest.
No, that's what I was thinking. I was like, this is unnecessary. I don't think I'm getting
okay.
But I was really surprised, that people are like, oh, no, like, you don't need that or anything. So it's kind of good to hear.
Rarely can we say this because it's pretty easy to pick apart, anyone's body, male or female, and go, you can see where they could be improved. But you're perfect just the way you are, Christine. I'm not just saying that. I mean, I can't imagine that there's anything you could do that would improve upon what you've already got.
Thank you.
So don't you? We'll see. All right, we've done our work.
Barely she values our opinion.
We've convinced her so much that we'll see.
That's what we're at. All right, Miss Double D, thanks for jumping on here today. Stay in touch and let us know what's up. Okay.
I will.
I'll tell you what's
all
up.
All right.
Hey, don't do it. Don't do it. You're fine.
We'll see.
All right.
Tuesday on the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks a lot for tuning in. Big day for us. Director James Mole has done a documentary called Foo Fighters Back and Forth. Who's in that band? What's that guy's name? That Dave
Taylor
Hawkins.
Yes.
It's not the guy who's coming in today, but Dave Grohl is, along with the director James Mole. We'll be talking all about that later on today's show. Plus, Petroth Papadakis talks about maybe the worst college national championship basketball game in history. That's all on the way from the Kevin and Bean Show.
Yeah, that happens a lot, unfortunately. I don't know if you've heard about the David Bowie app for your phone. What's the rush here?
It used to be, by the way, if you were a recording artist or any kind of business, you had to have a website, and then you had to have a Facebook page, and then you had to have a Twitter, and now apparently you have to have an app. Apparently you're nobody anymore unless you have an app.
And he has one, and it's based around a 1975 song, Golden Years.
Ooh, good song.
Now, I would think that David Bowie, I don't know, might write a new song. So that people would be interested in getting it. But apparently
he's retired from music. He's not doing any more albums, he says.
All right. Well, but basically I guess the app lets you remix them or something like that. It comes with a few songs. But I have the app on my phone just because I wanted to see what it is. You know, we talk to David Bowie all the time. So do you want me just to hit the app and see what goes?
Absolutely. You know, he's a genius. I'm always interested to see what David Bowie's up to.
All right.
I put the I in iPhone. Okay. I put the I in iPhone. I put the I in iPhone. I put the I in iPhone. I put the I in iPhone.
Okay, we got that one.
Now I am on your iPhone. I'm on your iPhone, iPhone. I put the I in iPhone.
I
put the I in iPhone.
What are we supposed to do with this?
I put the I in iPhone.
Listen, love it.
I put the I in iPhone. I'm on your iPhone.
All right, so you got that. That's part of the app. I don't know how many times you'd listen to that, but that's not the only thing,
I'm
right?
I'm guessing a lot.
Okay. What do you mean it's not the only thing? Should I hit it again?
Yeah, I think there's more.
Oh.
I'm playing Angry Birds now. 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 I'm going to kill those piggies. I'm going to kill those piggies. I'm going to kill those piggies. Shooting birds into their buildings.
Now, does that come up while you're playing that game? Would you guess?
Oh, maybe. That would be nice interaction, sure.
A little soundtrack while you're playing the game? That makes sense. Well, let me hit it again, see.
My calls are always ping. My call drop. My call drop.
What?
I can't. Friends now, Mike, always whipping.
I can't.
Was all whipping.
What?
I can't. My cup. I keep up a ping, ping. My cup a rope drop. Can you hear? Ways whipping. I think you're dropping.
Got a bad signal.
My cup. Always be.
Wow. So it seems like they could have worked that out before they made the app. Come on. Remember when Ralph was good and he used to come in and give away stuff before he did the show, Bizbeat? I miss those days.
Well, you're in luck. What are the chances? I happen to have some passes for the world premiere, the red carpet world premiere of Scream 4. It's happening at Grauman's Chinese Theater on Monday, April the 11th, in theaters everywhere on the 15th. In case you don't win, don't feel so bad because you'll be able to see it later in the week. But if you'd like to go to the red carpet world premiere, with all the stars of the film walking the red carpet, you'll be there. If you call right now.
That's really fun to see.
If you've never been to a Hollywood red carpet premiere, it really is a blast.
Yeah.
1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. First two callers to get through are going to get a pair of passes to see the red carpet world premiere of Scream 4. Neve Campbell, Courtney Cox, David Arquette return, as well as new cast members Emma Roberts, Hayden Panettiere, Rory Culkin, Anthony Anderson, Adam Brody. So call now if you'd like to win.
Yeah!
This just in, by the way.
Okay.
There is another word that has A-E-I-O-U in it in that order, by the way. Not just
snap.
The one word. There are two words.
Bean didn't know.
Not just facetious like Bean tried to tell us.
You're about to Bean.
That's what I heard.
Abstemious. Abstemious also features A-E-I-O-U in the order.
That is not a word. That's a word I would try to get by in Words with Friends, and it would not get allowed.
It is a word. I did not look up the definition, but it exists. So there you go.
All right.
Okay.
Bean, your lies. You sit on a throne of lies.
I said it's what I heard. I appreciate the new information. I'm grateful to whoever tipped us off.
Well, you'll expect a strongly worded letter from Tara Shaw as well as myself, because unacceptable.
You're going to bore us with facts. It might as well be
That's
true.
That's right. Get them right. Last night on Dancing with the Stars, Kirstie Alley and her partner, Maxim, were on the dance floor. She put her entire weight into his arms as he leaned back on his leg and promptly snapped his leg in half.
Ouch.
Well, he pulled a thigh muscle at least, but he just plummeted to the ground, just took a tumble. Got up, was obviously lame.
Did they take... points off for that, or is that cool?
Now, here's the thing. After he, like, he got up, and he's like, wait, and he puts his hand up to the crowd, like, well, give me a second, and then he goes back into the dance, and they finish it. And the judge was like, sometimes out of tragedy come things of beauty. I was like, really? Tragedy? Tragedy? The people of Japan, as one, raised their middle finger to Carrie Ann Inaba.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, no, they gave him pretty good points regardless. But I thought it was funny that she leans back on him and goes, just right to the floor.
Hey, I'm glad the floor held.
Oh, Kirsty. It is Tuesday. That means new DVDs and CDs are in stores today. Tron Legacy, reconfigured by Daft Punk. The new Daft Punk soundtrack for Tron Legacy is available today. You can pick that up.
Love it.
Speaking of tragedies, American Tragedy by Hollywood Undead, also available on CD today. Songs for Japan, speaking of Japan. This is the fundraising effort.
Oh, the charity one.
This is the charity CD that a ton of great artists have kindly contributed their talents and their product to raise some money for relief for what's going on in Japan. U2, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Beyonce, Lady Gaga, Foo Fighters, Justin Bieber, Katy Perry, Rihanna, and many more available on that CD. So if you're going to buy a CD this week,
yeah,
that may be the one to get.
Absolutely.
I have a clip of the U2 song.
Oh, I'd love to hear it.
Yeah, you want to hear a little bit of that?
Okay.
That's
worth getting, right?
Yeah.
It's only $10, by the way, and it's a double CD, something like 38 songs from the biggest artists in the world. So, as Ralph says, that's the one, man.
The Japanese love their mushrooms, don't they?
They do.
The shiitakes. Just saying, it's a great mushroom, the shiitakes.
It is.
I love the shiitake.
Yeah. Yeah.
I rented that one. Not what I expected. It wasn't about mushrooms at all.
Not at all.
Some unfortunate young lady. on DVD today, little movie called Tron. The original, the classic, Tron.
Oh, the bad one?
Oh, the bad one? Good one.
Not the good one?
The 30 years ago one?
Yes. Jeff Bridges, Bruce Boxleitner, Cindy Morgan. Oh, love me some Cindy Morgan. Boy, did I used to abuse myself to Cindy Morgan.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm. You know what else she was? She wasn't only in Tron. She was also Lacey Underalls in Caddyshack. Remember the hot blonde in Caddyshack
that Chevy Chase
gets with? Yeah, Cindy Morgan.
All right.
Also available on DVD, Tron Legacy, the brand new film with Jeff Bridges and Garrett Hedlund and Olivia Wilde.
Yeah.
Now, do yourself a favor. If you haven't seen Tron, the original, get that. Watch that. And then see Tron Legacy, because it will help you tie a lot of the plot line together for you. Because the original wasn't available. They did the last release of it was like 20 years ago. And it was hard to find, and they're re-releasing it in high quality now, so you can check that out.
I recommend
it highly. Do it, Kevin.
Nope.
The Chronic Chronicles of Narnia, Voyage of the Dawn Treader. It's available today. Little Fockers. Oh, those little Fockers. Because the Fockers, first you met the Fockers.
Sure.
Then you met the parents of the Fockers.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got the Little Fockers.
Sure.
And that's funny because their last name is Fockers, and that sounds like a dirty word.
Yes.
That's the concept of the film, right?
Yes. It's an entire trilogy of films based around that fact. Ben Stiller, Robert De Niro, Owen Wilson. I Love You, Philip Morris with Jim Carrey and Ewan McGregor. Also available. TV on DVDs, iCarly Season 2, Volume 3 is available. Life Unexpected, the complete first and second seasons. Anyone? Anyone? Life Unexpected? Anyone?
I've heard the title. I can't, can't place what show that was.
Yeah. Nothing. And Friday Night Lights, the fifth season is available.
That's what I'm talking about.
Box set. That's what Bean's talking about.
He was that's out on DVD before it even airs on NBC. That's weird.
No, it's not. They're just desperately trying to get it over with. Just what here, just take it. Take it. Any way we can
take
get it
off
to
our
you.
Hands.
Please, can we just be done with this? Thank you.
There's gonna come a time one day where you're gonna break both legs and be in a wheelchair for months recovering.
What, am I dancing with Kirstie Alley?
Whatever it is you're doing, and you're gonna say, all right, I've got the time, I'm gonna start watching Friday Night Lights. You're gonna watch every single episode of every single season, and you're gonna thank me.
The list of movies and TV shows that are ahead of that on things that I would watch in that situation is almost endless.
Yeah. And almost everything on that list is not as good as Friday Night Lights, the show you refuse to watch.
Hmm. Our lists are all quite different.
Yes, they are. Simon Cowell's got his new big show coming up this fall, X Factor.
I haven't heard anything about that.
Yeah, they should really publicize that.
They should advertise that a little.
Now we know who the third judge is. There's four judges. We've got three in place.
Right.
Simon, of course, will be one of the judges. L.A. Reid, producer, used to work with Babyface. He'll be one of the judges as well. British singer and judge of the original X Factor yesterday was confirmed. Cheryl Cole will be one of the judges on X Factor.
Yeah!
Yeah, indeed.
She's hot.
No word on who the fourth will be, but here is your short list.
Gary Busey.
Gary Busey is rumored
Wouldn't
to be the
be
fourth
great?
Judge. I would never stop watching it. I'd put it on an endless DVR loop in my home.
Yeah, I think you sang good. Sang S-A-N-G, sorry and never giving.
Pussycat Dolls' Nicole Scherzinger, one of the judges rumored to be the fourth judge.
All right.
Nicki Minaj, Paula Abdul, and Mariah Carey, although Mariah has said she's not.
Oh, I wish she would.
Judge.
She's crazy.
Snoop has also said he turned down an offer to be a judge. So we got to pull for Paula, right? Isn't that what we're all hoping for?
Paula, yeah.
Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Roger Corman, legendary director and producer of such classic films as Sharktopus!
Mm.
Have you seen the new picture
that.
On the internet of the new tattoo going around?
No.
Of Leonard Nimoy as Mr. Spock with tentacles?
No.
Spocktopus? I was very entertained by that. Roger Corman's 85. Mitch Pileggi, our buddy from X-Files, is 59 years old. And Pharrell Williams, rapper and producer, turns 38. Today, I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 9 minutes after 7 o'clock.
All right. Give me that very, very exciting to that dramatic college championship game last night in men's basketball.
The Huskies shut them down in the second half here in Houston. And the Huskies are the top dog in 2011.
Our final score, the Huskies of UConn, 53, Butler, 41.
Now, 53-41, Petros Papadakis, that's a halftime score, right? I mean, that's a reasonable halftime score in a basketball game.
In a pro basketball game.
Pro, right, right.
But, yeah, the game sucked, all right? What do you want me to do about it?
It did suck, yeah.
I'm not asking you to do anything about it.
But that is the case a lot of times, is the Final Four, the good games are on Saturday, usually. One of those two on Saturday is usually the best game, and the Monday night is a lot of times, with some exceptions.
Last year was a great game, yeah. If I remember, P.
But
last
it's the boring
year it was great. The Memphis-Kansas game a while back was great. We've been a little spoiled on Monday night, but this was awful, guys.
Yeah, it was.
This was one of the worst games ever played in the championship game. And you shouldn't take anything away from Butler and UConn because they made it all the way, and it is one hell of a tournament. It's a great tournament. We had a great tournament this year, but there just weren't any great transcendent teams. You know, there's just
right.
No team that's out there like Phi Slamma Jamma with dudes just putting their balls on everybody's neck and dunking all over the place. We just had a bunch of teams that were pretty good, and that's why you have a team like Butler from the middle of nowhere, tiny little school in Indianapolis, who's now been to the Final Four and the championship game 2 years in a row. That's a modern sports miracle.
But what's amazing about Butler, though, is obviously they couldn't have played the way they did last night and even made the tournament. They were so bad. But, I mean, it was the worst performance, it seemed like. Tell me if this is overstating the fact. It seemed like it was the worst performance any of those players had ever had individually, and it all happened on the same night.
They were bad. There's no question about it. They were bad. But, again, it's such a long tournament. It's such an accomplishment even to make it into the second weekend. And these guys in a tiny little school made it all the way to the championship game twice. And it's sad because they missed like 23 out of 25 shots.
Yeah.
Down the stretch. I mean, it was brutal. I mean,
and let's
really
not forget that the team that beat them, UConn, that does have a rich tradition of, winning, what is this, their third national championship, they only had 12 more points than Butler did. So as horrible as Butler was, UConn wasn't that much better.
No, it was a bad game. And here you have CBS in a marriage with TNT and TBS and True TV, Barkley sitting out there. They got like a set with like 12 dudes, and it's like, what are they all going to say?
Yeah.
The game sucked. You know, a bunch of white people are going to freak out in Storrs, Connecticut, and that's great too, and everybody's happy, but my God, it was a long tournament. To end like that, it was a little disappointing, but I'm glad it's over, and now we can concentrate on the NBA playoffs because those are really quick and very fun, and they don't take long at all.
P, yeah, right. They take 2.5 months. Hey, P, a lot of people have been complaining, especially this year, that there's no way in hell that University of Connecticut, that is the national champion, is anywhere close to being the best team in college basketball.
And they're not.
People are comparing it to, you know, at least with the BCS deal with college football, you get some teams that at least can't argue the point that they're the best. But, what do you say about that? Is it time to look at revamping that system, or is everybody happy with the way it is?
No, the tournament's great, and it's funny. I mean, I can't believe somebody would say the BCS is better than a tournament
anything.
With a whole bunch of teams. And I like the BCS personally, but that's another talk for another day. This is great. These are not the two best teams in college basketball, but they were the two best teams in the tournament, and that's what it is. You don't get the best teams in college basketball normally playing on Monday night in the tournament because the tournament is just so difficult to get through, and right. It's a harsh and angry, bitter mistress, you know, because you're playing well, and all of a sudden something gets away from you in the last 5 minutes of a game, and you lose, and all of a sudden your season's over, and you're going home, and somebody's partying on you, and that's just kind of how this tournament is. These are not the best teams in college basketball, but they were the best in the tournament, and that's how you win the championship.
It has nothing to do with the rankings, though. I mean, that's literally...
No, not at all. Okay. I mean, it's got very little to do with the rankings. Yeah. The rankings are how you're seated in the tournament, and
right.
You got to play it out.
I think someone said last night that Connecticut had lost 7 of its last 9 games in the regular season before they headed into the tournament. I mean...
The interesting thing about Connecticut is, though, they did not lose a game all season outside of their conference. The only games they lost were in the Big East, which is really good this year, and they ended up ninth in the Big East, made the tournament, and ended up winning the championship.
Butler had an average season at best, too, for God's sake.
Well, yeah, I mean, Butler, no one saw them coming this year. Last year was great, but this year nobody saw them coming. And you look at UConn, and they're gnarled, angry. I mean, the UConn coach, Jim Calhoun, looks like he's 80, and he's 60, and the Butler coach, Brad Stevens, looks like he's 12, and he's 34. It was just weird last night.
Yeah.
All right, one more thing. Our friend Petros Papadakis from the PNM nationally syndicated radio show and all those college sports you see on TV is on the phone with us on the Kevin Amin Show. Kevin has a specific complaint, not just about last night's game, but about every NCAA championship game.
And I feel like I'm the only one. I feel like I am literally the lone voice. But this...
It's all coming up. One shiny moment on CBS.
Coming up, our annual CBS Sports music video tribute to the NCAA tournament. One shining moment.
Is the most ridiculous song ever, and they use it every year. It blows.
The ball is tipped.
And there you are.
You're running for your life.
It's a soft rock love song. It's like a smooth jazz love song.
And here's what happened. Like, throughout the 80s, I think, they used a different song every year, and then CBS got tired of paying for it. So they just got their own crappy song.
How do you settle on this one? Why don't you just go with I Just Called to Say I Love You by Stevie Wonder or some other BS?
That rocks too hard.
So ridiculous.
They have to pay for that. They got the late Luther Vandross.
You're running for your life. And then they show a guy running. You're a shooting star. And then they show a guy shooting.
It's really about the montage, you know. CBS has had a guy locked in a basement for the last 3 months cutting up little tiny clips for this to go right with the music.
Yes, and I'm suggesting they use different music.
I am too. But I've always wanted them to use a Soma song by a band called Grouper called Heavy Water, I'd Rather Be Sleeping. But that's fallen on deaf ears, too.
Here's a little of it for those of you that don't know.
We leave you with the 2011 edition of One Shining Moment.
The time is short and the road is long. In the blinking of an eye, that moment's gone. And when it's done,
win or lose, you know you did your best, win or lose, because one shining moment. That's just not true. The people that lose are totally bummed.
Now, the people that lose go home and drink promethazine codeine until their hearts explode.
Is this going to be the song that CBS uses for the rest of my life?
Yeah, I think so. Last year, they had Jennifer Hudson sing it. Remember?
Yes, I do.
Oh, that's right.
They kept cutting away to her singing, and I was like, well, what the hell? The only reason I watch this is for the damn music video. But last night, the game was so bad with Butler scoring only 41 points, the fewest in any national championship game since Oklahoma State scored 36 in 1949. I changed it and started watching my TiVo of the Cleveland show. I couldn't take it.
I was flipping back and forth between the King Sharks, which was equally painful for me, and then back to this, and then it was boring. Then I go back to that, and then it was 4-1. I could go back to this, and it was, and then I go back to that. It was 5-1. It was just a rough night all around.
It shouldn't take away from the greatness of the tournament. It was a great tournament this year. It was a lot of fun to watch. UConn deserves to win the championship. It was just a real crappy way to end it.
The ball is tipped. And there you are.
You're running for your life.
You're a shining star.
Don't miss the Petros and Money Show on Fox Sports all across this great land of ours. P, thanks for coming on, man. We appreciate talking to you.
God bless you, and please be peaceful at Dodger Stadium, you idiots.
Yeah, we're with you on that. Thank you, man.
Foo Fighters documentary is going to be in theaters called Foo Fighters Back and Forth. In theaters for just one day, by the way, if I understand correctly. What the campaign is here. And we're going to have the director and the star, Dave Grohl, of that documentary coming up for us in about a half an hour right here on the Kevin DeBean Show. So definitely you want to stick around.
That day is today, by the way. It's going to be in the theaters tonight.
Huh. Tonight. Yep. Okay. And we'll have some tickets to give away next hour as well on the Kevin DeBean Show. Ralph, you brought up an interesting idea for a telephone topic that I don't think we've ever done before. Tell us about it.
Sometimes it's not good to meet your heroes. Did a story about a 12-year-old boy who was in New York City and was a huge Sting fan. What he's doing being 12 and a Sting fan, I have no idea.
Yeah, that's odd. Must be.
But saw Sting coming out of a Broadway play, I guess it was, and stopped him on the street and said, Mr. Sting, I'm a huge fan. Can I please get an autograph? And Sting just refused to acknowledge that he was Sting.
He said, that's not me.
No, it's not me. No, I'm just some other British guy. I'm not Sting.
I look
like him. No, okay, seriously, but can I have your... No. No, I'm not him. I'm not Sting. Leave me alone. I'm not Sting.
Funny, but
dick.
But then never...
never did anything for the 12-year-old kid.
Wow.
Just shined him on, and the kid was crestfallen because that was his one of his musical heroes and would love to have had a moment and just maybe a picture, an autograph, got just shined on by Sting.
Sometimes you don't want to know anything more about the person than the art that made you fall in love with that person as an entertainer. And, I mean, I know it's not exactly the same as meeting them in person, but I mean, for instance, Dionne Warwick, I now hate because of seeing her on Celebrity Apprentice. I learned too much about Dionne Warwick. I no longer can appreciate and enjoy her music like I did before, right? Yeah.
Well, the problem is that when you love somebody that much, let's say it's a musician, and they really play a huge part in your life, you feel that attachment. So you expect... it's ridiculous the level that you expect from these people. There's no way they can live up to it.
But that being said, I understand some people put people up on a pedestal. That being said, if you are a public figure whose livelihood depends upon the appreciation and cash of your audience, it doesn't take too much effort, really, to just be polite for a couple minutes. That's all you really have to do, because they're already in love with you. You don't have to impress them. You just have to be nice for a couple minutes.
It would have taken him less time to sign his name for the 12-year-old than it did to deny he was Sting.
The people who are dicks really are just dicks, and they have to go out of their way to be dickish. And it's tragic when you meet your heroes and they let you down like that, when they're really sort of
rude. We're going to take your calls, 1-800-520-1067. I do have a good story of a great friend of ours, mine, who is on the board of our charity, and she was in love, so much in love, and had built up and loves all the music of Dave Grohl.
Who's a dick.
Who we're going to have in a half hour.
Oh, who's not a dick, who's a great guy.
Right. Yeah. And the last time he was in, I said, you want to come down and meet him? She's like, I don't know, because, what if? Everybody's afraid of this exact thing. I built him up so much in my mind that I'm going to get there. And then I'm going to not be so enamored with him, and that's going to suck. But she came down. She spent some time in Studio R with him, and he was the best.
Oh, she should have told Dave to be just a big asshole. It would have been hilarious.
She had
set her up.
Unbelievably happy. She's like, he was better than I expected, and that doesn't happen very often.
But Dave is one of those guys.
He
treats everybody like family and friends. He's just great that way. But our topic is the people who ruin your experience.
Yeah, we went the other way.
Being just a massive douchebag.
And that happened to you a little bit on this show, right, Ralph?
It happens quite often on this show, believe it or not. But rarely does it happen to somebody who I really sort of idolize. I don't meet that many heroes on this show. Adam West, for example.
Great guy.
One of my buddies now. Great guy. So that was a pleasant example.
Right.
But I've always, since I was a little kid, been a huge fan of George Carlin, one of the great comedy figures of all time. I mean, when it comes to comedians,
There are certain comedians that almost everybody in comedy can agree on. Yeah. These guys are just the best. He's right. One of them. Just an icon. So when I found out he was coming in to do our show to promote his book, this is, of course, before he passed, I said, this is going to be great. I got a chance to meet one of my heroes, one of my all-time heroes. And he came in, and I had purchased the book even before I knew he was coming in. And I said, George, I don't mean to buy that. Could you please autograph the book for me? And he took the book, and I said, my name's Ralph. And I watched him open up the book and write his name and to Ralph, close the book, hand it back to me. Didn't say a word. Not, no, thanks for buying the book. Oh, okay, here you go. Kiss my ass. Tell your story walking. Nothing I got from this guy. So then you guys are interviewing it, and I'm sitting in. And in between the segments, he would do his pitch. He had some dates coming up, and he was selling tickets, and he was selling the book. And when the mics went dead and the songs came up and the commercials came up, he pulled out a newspaper, flipped it open, and put it right in front of his face. For the entire time it took from segment to segment, we said, George, we're going to be back on 30 seconds. Took the newspaper, folded it back up, sat it down, and then went back and did the interview.
Just to make sure there was a barrier between he and us.
Please do not bother me. Yeah. I don't want to be here. I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to deal with you. I'm just going to read my newspaper and leave me alone.
That's such a bummer.
And I was crestfallen. I was hoping he'd be funny and interesting and have stories and be the guy you know
of
on
course.
Stage. You know,
of
you want to be, you want George Carlin to be George Carlin. And he was just George Dick.
And you're glad he's dead. That's what you're saying.
I'm not saying that. And maybe we caught him on a bad day.
Because, that's my thing. Is I sort of feel bad.
Kevin Smith has worked with George in a couple films and said he was nothing but a prince. So maybe it was just a bad day. Maybe he doesn't like getting up early or something. Who knows what
maybe
it was.
Sick. There's a lot of things. But
maybe
you don't
it was
get a,
you.
You do not.
Maybe
get,
it was me.
You don't get a break as a celebrity. I mean, you really don't, because the one person that you treat that way, they go tell their friends.
Because it's everybody's only time they're going to meet you, really.
Yeah,
so
it really is.
I was disappointed. That was my big moment.
Well, that's
did
what
you
we're
say,
looking
hey,
for.
What you reading about?
Hey,
anything?
Hey, George, what are you working on? Some material? Got some funny news stories you're working on?
We are we're looking for your stories, just like Ralph's George Carlin story. And I feel bad, by the way, that we're going to ruin the reputation of some of these celebrities if people hadn't heard this. But that's what we're looking for. 1-800.
Or it's a cautionary tale to celebrities: don't be a dick.
Oh, there's that too. 1-800-520-1067. You met your hero; he or she was a dick. We'll take your calls next on the Kevin. Minutes away from Dave Grohl and the director of the documentary about the Foo Fighters, James Mole, joining us in studio after the top of the hour on the Kevin Amit Show. Right now we're talking about meeting your heroes and how you don't always walk away with the warm, fuzzy feeling you hoped before you met them. Here's a perfect example before we go to your calls from Brittany. I met my hero, Ralph Garman, at the first April Fool's event. I've loved him since day one of being on the Kevin Amit Show. I was so disappointed with our meeting and ended up hating him because he's not Gary Busey. Well, there's nothing you can really do about that. That's not your fault.
I take complete responsibility there. She made the right choice there. Yeah.
Let's talk to Jimmy, line three, please, here on the Kevin Amit Show. You met your idol. It didn't work out the way you imagined it would. Hi, Jimmy. Welcome to the show. What happened?
Hey, good morning, party people.
Hi there.
Hi.
All right. I was at the Laker championship game. I'm walking through the concourse, and I walk up to Glenn Frey. He's standing right there.
Glenn Frey, those of you who don't know, one of the Eagles.
Legendary Eagles.
Yeah. All right.
Founding members of the Eagles. I'm a big fan. I'm the only one who recognizes him. I walk up to him, and I'm like, oh, Glenn Frey, wow. You know, hey, can I grab a picture with you? He just turned his back and walked away.
He walked away.
That takes a special something, doesn't it? Just not to say, hey, you know what? I'm really in a hurry or something.
Or even F you.
Nothing. 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 Just a dick. Just
I love it.
Away.
Just I love it. It's better than anything you could have had happen to you.
Oh, you know what? And the funny part is not more than like 15 minutes prior to that, I was getting food and I was behind John Lithgow. And I had a conversation with John Lithgow.
Right.
Talking to him.
Yeah, he's a sweetheart, John Lithgow.
Nice guy.
But yeah, I'd like to check that the funny part of the story was that. Because I think Glenn Frey walking away was the funny part of that story.
Exactly. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it, Jimmy. Let's try Tawny, line two. Hi, Tawny. Thanks for calling the Kevin Amit Show. Who'd you try to meet?
I went to the world premiere of The Bachelor, and my friend took a picture with Brooke Shields. And then I asked to take a picture with her, and my flash didn't go off. And she turned and walked away.
you get one shot with Brooke.
Well, she took two steps and stood there. It wasn't like, oh, just a second, you know, to whoever she was going to go talk to or walk with her husband. She just walked away, took two steps, and just stood there.
That's even worse. She didn't walk out of the room. She just walked away from you and then stopped.
Yes,
that's like, sweet.
That's dictastic.
I will tell you that the one thing we have learned, even with our minor level of celebrity, is that cameras are unreliable and nobody knows how to use them. That's a constant.
You just stand there and you just wait.
You know what's so funny is later Renee Zellweger, the exact same thing happened, and she was on the dance floor. She pulled me over. She's like, no, take the picture again. The flash didn't go off. She was totally cool, and she was the star of the movie. Brooke Shields was like a bit part in the movie.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
She was a dick part in the movie.
Let's talk to Doug on line six. He was 12 years old at the time he met his heroes, Ralph, and this makes me think of the story you told us that started the whole thing about the kid meeting Sting. You also met your musical idols, right, Doug?
I was at on the Monsters of Rock tour with Metallica and Van Halen, and was running around the stadium, saw James Hetfield, Lars Ulrich.
Wow.
And I guess because I was 12 years old and goofy, but I was like, oh, my God, it's James Hetfield, Lars Ulrich. And they looked at me, and they're like, F off.
To a 12-year-old.
I think they did the right thing.
I'm so glad I stole their music now.
All right, let's squeeze in Jason real quick, line seven, because this is a physical interaction with his celebrity. Hi, Jason. Welcome to the show.
Hi, how's it going?
Good.
Good. Back when my brother and I were about 10, 12, we went to the L.A. Open. And Tom Watson, I'm pretty sure a lot of people know who he is.
This is golf, right? He's a professional golfer.
Championship golfer, yeah.
All right.
And he's walking between one of the greens, just off one of the greens, and is walking into to the tee. My brother, who really wasn't into the golf at that time, decided, hey, I'm going to go get this guy's autograph. I know he's my mom and dad speak of him highly and stuff. So he goes up there, puts out his arms, and says, hey, Mr. Watson, can I have your autograph? And he pushes my brother's arms out of the way and says, get out of here, kid, I'm working.
He shoved him.
That's awesome.
I like all these stories. These are great.
I wish he had punched him. That'd be a great story.
You know, in a way, though, that's a way more memorable and funny story to have for the rest of your life all than a little autograph on a piece of paper, right?
All of these are better than if you would have got the autograph. To me,
I think it's a nicer memory when you have a nice meeting with your hero,
but this is funnier.
All right, one more. How about Doug, line eight? Hi, Doug. Thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. Who'd you meet?
I met Adam West.
Oh, TV's Batman.
Coolest guy ever, right?
Well, the funny thing is I went out, drove my whole family out to Palm Springs when he got his star. I'm like, this is my chance. I'm going to meet Adam West. And got there early and took some great pictures. And then as soon as he had sort of this line in front of him, right in front of him, 6 inches away, I stick out my hand. I got my camera ready. I'm like, Adam, congratulations. And it was like I was a ghost. Right past me, shook the hand of the next guy, just kept moving.
Well, the problem, old chum, was that I could smell you from there.
Oh, that could have been.
You evil, odorous villain.
Is it true that perhaps you smelled a little too much?
No.
Mm-hmm. So says you.
Thank you for the only bad thing I can say about Dave Grohl is that he's not Gary Busey. I mean, that's it. Yeah. Other than that, everything else about Dave is awesome.
And, but Busey isn't Grohl either.
That's true, too.
Oh, interesting.
Probably the only time in the world that gets flipped around on Busey. People are disappointed.
About that. Yeah. Anyway, Dave joins us with the director for the Foo Fighters documentary, James Mohl, both in studio, coming up after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Now, Ralph's got the showbiz people.
Before I get to showbiz news, I do have a quick news update for you. This just in from listener Paul. Apparently, there are 38 words with all five vowels that are actually in alphabetical order, as opposed to the one Bean told us there was during the moment with Bean. And then I came in, I said, I heard there was another one. Turns out listener Paul did some research. Apparently, 38 words have A-E-I-O-U in that order, in the word.
Still not interested.
Interesting now that there are 38 of them than there would have been had there been one. And even when he said there was one word, wasn't interested.
Okay, here's what I said. I heard that facetious is the only word in the English language that has A, E, I, O, and U in that order. That's what I said.
Yes.
I didn't say I made it up. I didn't say I had thoroughly researched it. I hadn't written a book about it. I just heard it.
Not interested.
Not interested if you had been right. Now that you're wrong, even less interested. Now that there are 37 other words that you didn't mention that also had those same properties.
Why don't you fact check before you bore us?
Yes.
I withdraw the statement.
Boy, when you're wrong, I got to tell you, you really take advantage.
You abused the privilege right there.
I'm sorry that I did not know the word acerophorum.
Yeah, how about that one? That's a good one. Or arterius. Or bacterius. Or camellios. Or materius. Or majestius.
You guys know we're still on the air and stuff.
It's all sound like Jermaine Jackson's kids.
They do. All right, let's talk about showbiz news, shall we? Before I get to the news, I want to give you a heads up if you'd like to be on television. There's a new game show. It's looking for contestants called Just My Luck. It is a game show for people who have really bad luck. They're looking for people with bad luck stories. Let's say you lost the winning lottery ticket, or you had your home broken into on the same day of your wedding, which is a story I'll get to in a minute. This is the game show for you, then. It's going to be a series of big physical challenges that are based entirely on bad luck. And the less well you do, the worst you do, the more money you make.
What?
So if you're really unlucky, this is the show for you. It's called Just My Luck.
They should just call it Fail.
They're looking for people between 20 and 40 years old. You can win up to $25,000 to $50,000 on this show, by the way.
So you have to do poorly.
Yes.
Huh.
It's based entirely on luck. If you are interested, you can go to TammyBcasting.com. TammyBcasting.com. She's Tammy B is the one who's casting for this show. So I just want to give you a heads up because I know sometimes people like to follow up on these things. I mentioned someone was at their wedding and their home was broken into. Did you hear the story? Who this was?
Did not.
Apparently. Yes. Go ahead, Bean. Tell me who it was.
No, I'm not going to. I'm not going to interrupt.
But he asked
if I heard, and I said yes. That's all. But it's still interesting.
Michael Bublé was saying I do to his beautiful fiance, Luisana Lopilato. I don't know how to say her name. They were in Buenos Aires last week. While they were getting married, here's the thing. News got out that they were getting married that day. So while they're at their wedding, burglars broke into his Argentinian estate.
All right.
And ripped him off. Apparently, the burglars covered up the security cameras, then cut the lines to the alarm system. This is like a Ocean's 11.
Wow,
no caper. No word yet on what was taken from the home, but Luisana said that she would not let that ruin the happiest day of her life. Aw, that's sweet. Until she finds out her jewelry's gone, and then it'll be a different story. Sean Hayes from Will and Grace has been cast to play Larry in the Three Stooges movie that the Farrelly brothers are doing. That's not going to be good, right?
I don't know. I'm one of the only guys that I know that was never into that.
I'm shocked, by the way, that you're not a Stooge fan. Because it's guys hitting each other in the head with wrenches and pipes.
I mean, it's practically Jackass, Kevin. What's not to like?
Yeah, but Jackass is real. This isn't. Maybe that's the difference.
But it was still funny.
Yeah. Anyway,
Will Sasso is going to play Curly, according to the Hollywood Reporter. He is on...
Sasso is good for that role, I think.
Bleep My Dad Says and Mad TV. Larry, of course, Sean Hayes from Will and Grace. That's where you probably know him best. No word yet on who will be Mo. I'm getting less and less interested in this story as I talk about it.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to give you the heads up.
And I also think the Farrelly brothers' name does not automatically conjure up magic as it once did. I mean, they did do Hall Pass this year.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like it was.
Yeah. What was the one they did with Greg Kinnear and Matt Damon as conjoined twins?
Stuck on You.
Stuck on You. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
My eyes can still smell that one.
Yeah!
Arnold Schwarzenegger continued to talk about his new project, the new comic book turned cartoon series, The Governator. See what he is there? He's a superhero, but he's also a governor. He's the Governator. Arnold told The Hollywood Reporter that not only is it going to be a TV cartoon series, but there's going to be a series of games for Xbox and PlayStation, so you can be the Governator and play the game. Arnold says he also has plans for a big screen version of Governator as well, starring Arnold.
No!
He sure does have a lot of plans for that word.
Cash in on a pun, doesn't he?
Would have made a lot more sense. I don't know, any time in the last 6 years, it's not now.
And Jackie Chan did a telethon for disaster relief in Japan over the weekend in Hong Kong. In 3 hours, he raised $3.3 million.
Wow.
Dude.
Pretty strong. The concert was also held there Friday, and the cash kept flowing through the evening. Lionel Richie even put in an appearance from Australia via satellite to sing Say You, Say Me. Oh, that's something else, isn't it?
Speaking of Japan Relief, it is Tuesday, and new CDs and DVDs are in stores today. The Songs for Japan CD, great relief effort, double album. Various artists, U2, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Beyonce, Lady Gaga, Foo Fighters, Justin Bieber, Katy Perry, Rihanna, and many, many, many more is available for sale today. You can pick it up, and proceeds do go to provide some relief funds for the people in Japan who are suffering from the earthquake and tsunami damage. So Songs for Japan is the name of the CD. Pick it up today if you can. On DVD, Tron Legacy, the new Tron movie starring Jeff Bridges and Olivia Wilde, is available, as is the classic. It's being re-released, the special edition Tron with Jeff Bridges and Bruce Rock Boxleitner. You can pick that up. Little Fockers with Ben Stiller and Robert De Niro and Owen Wilson, available today. And I Love You, Philip Morris, starring Jim Carrey and Ewan McGregor. You can pick that up.
Or...
or not. Today's celebrity birthdays: Roger Corman, director and producer, 85 years old today. Actor Mitch Pileggi from X-Files turns 59. Pharrell Williams, rapper and producer, he turns 38 today. And Ralph Garman, I Walk the Showbiz Beat. When I talk about it, this is a call to all my, you know you make me break.
Remember the Foo Fighters? They were so good.
Right. I
love them. Oh, I used to love that band.
Foo Fighters. Whatever happened.
I know. We ask ourselves all the time. Oh, wait. Hold on. They're in theaters tonight with a new documentary called Foo Fighters Back and Forth, followed by a live 3D performance from the band playing their brand new album, Wasting Light, from front to back. The guy singing those songs will be Mr. Dave Grohl, who joins us in studio, along with the director of the documentary, James Mole. How are you, James?
Good morning.
How are you, Dave?
I'm really good. Thank you very much.
I'm disappointed when people who have Oscars don't bring their Oscars in, because most of us don't get to see them up close. Why don't you carry it with you everywhere you go, James?
Oh, it's here. It's here.
It's here?
It's in the other room.
He wears it around his neck like Flavor Flav.
That's what I would know.
That's what I would do, too.
Yeah. All right. We have so much ground to cover and never as much time as we want whenever you're in studio, Dave. But let me start with this question for both of you, and that's, how on earth did you two get together? Because I've seen the stuff that you do, James, and it seems far more serious and important than wasting your time with a little rock and roll movie.
Yeah.
What are you doing slumming with these guys?
Right.
What were you thinking?
You know, I got to say, because my history is in a background in historical documentaries. So
right.
I'm a little curious myself, actually, how
well,
I ended up making
happen?
This documentary.
Who
contacted
who?
What was he thinking?
I got a call from a producer, Nigel Sinclair at Spitfire Pictures, and he had seen a film I made about the daughter of a Nazi perpetrator. So
right.
A really heavy, heavy subject.
Right.
And he said, well, what do you want to do next? And I said, something completely different. He said, you like the Foo Fighters?
Just like that?
It was really, yeah, it was
That's
really
how
good.
The big deals are made right there.
Wow.
A week later, I'm
really,
sitting in
the room with Dave. Really, you make Nazi movies? You'd be perfect for this Foo Fighters thing. You should meet Dave.
All right, let me hear your version of the story, Dave. Were you auditioning for directors to shape this movie for you, or were you just going to take whoever they handed to you?
Well, we actually got a big list. We started thinking about it maybe a year and a half ago, and I thought it was finally time to do a History of the Band documentary, because I don't know if anyone's seen that Tom Petty movie. Did you see the Tom Petty documentary?
Yes.
It was 4 hours long. It was
amazing. It was awesome, by the way.
It was totally awesome. It was amazing. It's 30 years and 4 hours long. And I thought, you know, maybe we should do it now before we wind up with, like, the Ben-Hur of rock document. We should probably try to get it finished now.
Well, it's still manageable.
Yeah. And so they gave us a list of directors. And then I got the call, like, you should come meet this guy, James. I'm like, what's he done? And they're like, oh, just a bunch of Nazi movies.
All right.
There was more, a little more than just Nazi movies.
Do you have a director who's done anything on the Holocaust? I want him.
Yeah, so, I mean, but, you know, the cool thing about it was that rather than just go get someone that would have made kind of a really formulaic sort of behind the music type of thing,
mm-hmm.
James came in. It was funny because at the meeting I remember saying, okay, well, here's the deal. This is what we've done, and we're making the next record in my garage with analog tape, and the movie should be like this. And James is like, you know, can't really write documentaries. They sort of write themselves. I'm like, oh, okay. But it made sense.
Was that like a, hey, I got this?
Pretty much. You know, I said to James before, I said, you know, I don't tell Sony how to make flat screens. They don't tell me how to make rock records.
All right.
So I won't tell James how to make
movies. And they were great about that all the way through the process.
They really let me do my thing. There was no, don't put that in. That was embarrassing. Don't put that in.
Every now and then someone would say, is that going to be in the movie?
Well, isn't Taylor in interviews now, even now that the thing is done and happening, saying, wow, there's some stuff in there I wish wasn't in there. I kind of wish it wasn't being released. I mean, he still has misgivings, it seems like, about some of the material.
Yeah, I think that when James was first finished with it, he said, okay, come see... you got to come see the cut.
Okay.
And
so you said,
do you want to come by yourself or the whole band? And I'm like, no, let me go by myself, because I didn't want it to break up the band. You know, I didn't, because we did all of our interviews separately. The only people interviewed in the movie are the people in the band or the people that in the band.
So you have no idea what any of the other members.
So nobody.
Said.
I mean, it was like usual suspects stuff.
Wow.
It was like,
all right.
Nobody,
so how many members in the band, past and present, said Dave Grohl's a dick?
Two.
Okay. But was that over or under what you expected?
The two that aren't around. I mean, everybody has their uncomfortable moment.
Sure.
You know, there's...
Did the guys go, hey, where are you going? And you went, I'm going out. Are you going to watch a movie? No, just errands and stuff.
I came to rehearsal the next day. I said, you guys, I saw the movie. And they're like, how was it? I said, it's great. But I just want you guys to know, everyone's going to want to change something, but don't change anything. Because...
That's smart.
Yeah. And Nate wanted the golf rule. What is it? The mulligan or whatever.
Yeah. Can we just get one?
Yeah. I said, no.
You get one do-over.
Let's try to keep it.
Right.
So the scope of the film, and again, if you're just joining us, Mr. Dave Grohl in studio with us with the director of the documentary called Foo Fighters Back and Forth, James Mole. They are both here on the Kevin and Bean Show today, and we'll tell you again how you can see the movie tonight, and we'll give away tickets later. The scope of the movie is making the new record Wasted Light, and also it's a history till this point of Foo Fighters, where you pretty much just walk us through from the little cassette that you started with to where we're at today, right?
Yeah. It starts 20 years ago. You know, it starts with Butch and I and making Nevermind back in 1991. Butch Vig, the producer, he produced Nevermind, and he also produced the new Foo Fighters record, Wasting Light. Mm-hmm. And we haven't made an album together in 20 years, so it was actually kind of a big part of the movie that we got back together.
Sure.
And the fact that we did it in my garage. You know, we didn't go to a big studio. We did it. I pulled my minivan out of the garage and put the drums in there, and we used tape. We didn't use any computers. And so it was, you know, there were a lot of stories in there, I think.
Starting back with the Nirvana days, I mean, that was a question mark, because people were saying to me, well, you're going to interview Dave Grohl? And is he going to talk about Kurt Cobain? Is he going to talk about Nirvana?
Yeah.
And, you know, in the end, nothing was off limits.
Well, that's that does make this momentous, because, Dave, you have been, and we've discussed this on and off the air in the past, you have been notoriously silent on most of the history of Nirvana. I mean, you've kept it very, very private. You have not spoken much about it. So this is kind of a breakthrough in terms of fans being able to get the first-person perspective of what it was like.
Yeah, we talk about it a bunch in the beginning of the film. Pat, too, you know, Pat Smear, our guitarist,
right.
He talks a lot about stuff, too. And, you know, it was one of those things where I'd never really opened up about any of it. And sitting down with James, he just, you know, he just somehow pulled it out of all of us.
Did he make you cry?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Why now? Why now? Why did you decide that you were going to do it this time?
Well, everything sort of started coming full circle maybe about a year ago, where I thought, okay, first of all, I want to do something that we've never done before. This is our seventh record. This is the Foo's seventh record. And I don't want to just go into another big studio and use all the newest gear and make a new t-shirt, go on tour and whatever, you know, like it just seems so boring. So you try to create an experience that'll make it more than just a record, you know, and the more that you surround yourself with that kind of experience, the better the album becomes, or the album becomes that experience. And so I thought, well, okay, if we get Butch and we do it in the garage and we do it to tape and we surround ourselves with with our history and all these things that are real. My children are running around my feet the whole time we're recording, and Chris Novoselic came down and played on the record.
No kidding.
And
cool.
So I mean, the whole thing, like, it really became, it became a life experience.
Of course, we show up on day one, and Dave's like, "Okay, wait, how many guys are there? And how many cameras are? Wait, is this the way it's going to be?" And
my house, it was, man.
Woody Allen moment, and
but I was having panic attacks at night, just like, oh, I had ice packs on my chest.
Well, you mentioned you had that a nightmare or a dream that you woke up and there were like 60 people in the house or something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
I
had an AK-47.
Yeah. James, did you ever feel, and you know, people have always said, as long as they've been filming reality, anything, that it changes what's going on once you introduce the element of a camera?
No.
In front of it. Did you ever feel like you became a fly on the wall and just kind of blended in, or was it always obvious that there was this presence there kind of interrupting whatever the man was trying to do?
Well, these guys are pros. I mean, they, you know, I'm sure they were always aware of the camera. I don't know. You'd have to ask Dave. From our perspective, in my very first meeting with the band, I said, I need two things from you guys. One, you need to wear microphones. I need to be able to hear what you're saying.
Sure.
No one wants to wear a microphone. Yeah. But second is ignore me. Just let me be a fly on the wall. You know, don't play to the cameras. Just do whatever you would do. Mm-hmm. And eventually I felt kind of ignored.
And then you're like, hey, this is bumming me out.
Yeah.
Foo Fighters Back and Forth is the documentary. It is screening tonight along with a live Foo Fighters performance of the entirety of the new record called Wasting Light. We're going to give away some tickets and talk some more about that. Dave is here and the director of the film, James Mole. More in a moment on the Kevin. You are listening to the Kevin Abeen Show. Very special day for us, having Dave Grohl back in studio along with the director of the documentary about Foo Fighters called Back and Forth. James Mole is also here. Tonight's the big night, guys. Tell me how it's going to play out.
Well, they're going to show the movie. And then right as the movie ends, they're going to go to this live satellite feed of us playing from our studio the entire record in 3D.
In 3D.
Wow.
Which evidently is the first time this has ever happened, that a band's done a live 3D broadcast to theaters all over the country.
That sounds cool.
I think it's going to be cool.
You've never seen a 3D movie, you told us before.
The last time I saw a 3D movie was in like 1979 when you could get the 3D glasses with a free Slurpee or something like that.
The technology was great then.
With the blue and the red. And then it was on Channel 20. And it was, you know, something from outer space or whatever.
Yeah, it's gotten a little better.
We checked it out last night. We sound checked and we tested it out. And it looks cool. It's hard to play guitar with the glasses on, though, I got to say. But I'll figure it out.
It's a great way, though, to distribute a movie.
You know, yeah, no kidding.
Because documentaries generally aren't necessarily like the big summer blockbuster that, you know. So to say, okay, let's put it all over the country and all these theaters all at once and make it like this event.
Followed by the performance.
Followed by the live concert.
Stoked.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yes.
And I was a little bit surprised when we asked you what happens next. Like, is the documentary going to come out on DVD or what? And you don't even have that planned yet, right? You don't know yet what's going to happen.
You know, I don't plan stuff like that. I plan set lists and which pair of black jeans to wear.
Sure.
So that question might be directed to James.
James?
James, who just goes to the film's website to figure out what's going to happen next.
Because he doesn't know.
No, it's. I'm sure it'll be out there in a big way with innovative ways like this, like tonight.
Right. Excuse me, I burped. Tell me why, Dave, it was important to take it back to the garage. I mean, I would think a guy like you who doesn't overdo the fancy schmancy production, it seems to me like you've always had a pretty good head on your shoulder about not getting carried away. There's never been an auto-tune Foo Fighters record. No. You don't use it just because it exists. You weren't abusing the studio. Why did you have to strip it back so far and go back to, you know, the way the Beatles recorded in 1962?
Well, I think there was something cool about being a band that can play in stadiums and headline festivals and be this arena rock band that still goes back to making records in a garage, you know?
But you don't have to.
Well, we don't have to do anything.
Right? Okay.
Well, I mean, that's the cool thing about the band is that we're lucky. We never have anyone telling us what to do, you know? We've been on my record label for 16. I'm the president of the record company that we record for.
Wow.
It's ridiculous.
Do you have someone else?
Maybe a crime.
You have somebody else who does the work?
Yeah, sorry, okay. BMG. but so we've been really lucky. Like, for years, the people that we work with have been cool enough to let us do our own thing. So the people at the big label just know, like, oh, they're going to make a record in the garage. Okay, leave them alone. And then when they come out, I'm sure it'll be a Foo Fighters record and it'll be okay. But, I mean, to me, it was like this band has gotten to this point. We never imagined being around this long.
Yeah.
We never imagined being as popular as we are. And we're just as shocked as anyone else that we're a famous rock band, you know. And to me, it was like, okay, well, there's a lot of expectation on the band now. And people are like, oh, you're Foo Fighters? Well, you must be, you know, this great rock band. And we've never felt like a big, greatest rock band in the world. And so to diffuse some of that expectation, I thought, you know, let's just be cool about it and go do it in the garage, and I'm sure it'll turn out fine. And it's amazing. It's the best record we've ever made.
We were talking yesterday about what will you be remembered for more, Nirvana or Foo Fighters? And it was 6 years ago, it seemed it's Foo Fighters. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, it's weird.
It really is not even close, I don't think.
No, it's hard to imagine that the last 16 years have been spent doing this. It's weird. I honestly don't feel any different than I did in 1995 or whatever. You know?
I remember the first day I heard that the drummer for Nirvana was going to start a band.
How hard did you laugh?
I was like, oh no. Oh. Like, oh, that is a drummer.
Yellow Submarine.
Oh, is he going to sing too? Oh no. Like, really? Because that kind of thing rarely works, but in your particular case, it worked great.
You know,
not as well as it did with Phil Collins, though, right? Right, Dave?
Well, I have yet to move into wearing the funny sweaters and doing Disney, but there's always time. You never know. I do
did
have a legacy
to uphold.
Did you get
that response from anyone else? Like, whoa.
From everybody, of course. Yeah. That was, I mean, it was one of the great things about the beginning of the band. Like, oh, real? Well, they're going to suck. And then we didn't even have to be that good.
Yeah,
people were like, well,
expectations are low.
They don't suck that bad.
Right.
So we're winning right out of the gate.
Dave, what did you learn as you you mentioned that you went to see the screening and saw ex-band members talking about you and your current band members too? What did you learn about yourself as a leader, as a guy to work with and work for?
I'm a ruthless prick, you know?
Yeah.
When it comes to working, get out of my way!
That's so not true.
You don't strike me as a taskmaster, as a do-it-my-way or the highway kind of guy at all.
You know, I think the way it works in the Foo Fighters is that I'm a spaz, imagine.
Yes.
I don't know.
You're a spaz.
Yeah, a little bit. And
that's
musically, too. So when things start to happen, it's like you kind of got to jump on the train quick, because if you don't get on it, then you're just going to be left on the side of the road.
Right.
And that's just kind of what happens. And we have a great relationship. This band is so we're a really functional band. It's
right.
Not a dysfunctional band. We each help each other, and every person serves their part in the band, and they look to me just to sort of, you know, steer the thing along.
Were you bummed out at any point by the things other people were saying about you in the movie?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Were you really?
Yeah.
What was the biggest one you went like, wow, I wish I could change that?
Well, I mean, honestly, our first drummer, William, leaving the band. You know, I redid the drums on the second record.
Right.
And
I've heard that you regretted that ever since, or no?
Well, you know, I don't necessarily regret it, no, because the album turned out great.
Right.
And I don't think we'd be here talking had I not done it, you know? But I do regret the way I went about the whole thing, you know? As a man now, I probably would have dealt with things differently. And now I've been a leader of this band for 16 years, so I probably would have really, I would have done it better.
Okay, right.
But that was probably the hardest thing for me.
James, let me ask you this: as the director of the movie, a lot of times a director will look for conflict to make a story more interesting. Was the fact that the band was so well functioning together, was that a disadvantage for you in terms of trying to create a dramatic piece of film?
Yeah, there's always something to look for.
Yeah.
Honestly, sure, you do look for a little bit of conflict. You do look for something going on. And
you try to plan it? You ever plan it?
No.
Kroll, you
absolutely
never believe
not.
What he said about you.
No.
Stir it up.
There was no scripting. There was no planning. I really just wanted to go in and be a fly on the wall, and I figured stuff would happen.
Yeah.
You know, I figured. And everyone said to me, oh, you don't get it. This is just a great bunch of guys. Dave's the
just
nicest guy in the world.
Yeah.
And it's like, And I'm like, okay, we'll see. We'll see when we really get in there. We'll
take
see
Grohl
in like
down a step, a notch or two.
Of course, take off my Dave Grohl mask. And
it turned out to be true, but you know, it was interesting too. It's interesting watching Dave work because on the one hand, he's this consummate musician and takes the music, very seriously, and the guys are out there making. But he's this extremely well organized. You know, he's got these graphs on the wall and these charts, and everything's like happens right when he said. He's always got his lap book open and looking at the calendar and saying, "Okay, on Wednesday we're going to be at." Or you know, he would text me at like 6 a.m. saying, "Okay, rise and shine."
That's weird. Most of the time, creative people are.
Yeah, so it's
slobs,
a split not kind of thing.
Both sides of the brain,
oh,
dude.
Man, you got it all.
Left and right,
you got it all.
Brain pumping stuff.
Do you think it takes any magic away from people to see how the rock music is written and made?
You know, I've never been one for like costumes and smoke and mirrors. You know, I like it when bands seem like people, and if they make good music, it doesn't. You know, you could be David Bowie with face paint, or you could be Neil Young with a flannel shirt, or as long as the music is good, I don't buy into any of that rock and roll mystery stuff. I guess it's fun to read those sort of biographies, but for me, it's like, I just want to see a band jam.
Right.
And if that guy's pumping my gas on Friday afternoon, that's all good. Like, I'm cool with that.
Do you have a lot of choreography in this particular...
in the new act?
And matching suits?
Yeah. It's like, what big musical! No.
If that ever happens, can I take you out?
Absolutely.
Okay, good.
Yes, you could be the one.
I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah.
FooFightersFilm.com is the website you want to go to if you want to find out where the movie theater is playing, where the movie is playing tonight, wherever you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show today, and you can buy those tickets and then see the 3D live performance. We've got one more segment with the guys. Dave Grohl is here along with the director of the movie, James Mole. We're going to play something from the new record, Wasting Light, when we come back, too, all by the way. And we'll also give away some tickets. So all of that straight ahead right here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, that's over. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 8:42.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here. Bridge Burning is the name of that song. It is the opening track to Dave Grohl. Do I have that right? Wasting Life? That's
first
the one you
song.
Hear when you put it on.
Right out of the gate. We wanted every album needs a big opener.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Sure. Dave is in studio with us, excuse me, David, along with documentary director James Mole talking about Foo Fighters Back and Forth, which is the documentary that James has made about the making of Wasting Light.
And the band's history as well, right?
Yeah. Listen to this, by the way, from Contact Music. I don't know if you've seen any of the early reviews yet or not, Dave, or if you're one of those people who likes to avoid them. This is the album Foo Fighters fans have been waiting for the band to make since There's Nothing Left to Lose. It's all the things the Foo Fighters do best. Big choruses, big hooks, big anthems. They seem to have cut away all the fat of the previous decade's releases and become more focused and confident. With Wasting Light, Foo Fighters are cementing their place as not only the biggest rock band in the world right now, but also the best.
Wow. I like that review.
Woo!
I'll take it.
Sounds unlikely, though, right? I mean, this guy's
total crap. Big lie.
Exactly.
Is he on the payroll?
Yeah. That was me, actually. I'm also the president of ContactMusic.com.
James, is it hard to film guys writing songs? That seems like it would be about as exciting as watching people type.
It was interesting to see the process because they would be recording a little bit and then Dave would say, okay, I'm going to go write some lyrics. And then he'd come back and change things. So it's a process. It's a creative process. I found it actually really very interesting.
That is, for those of us that aren't musical and can't do that, that is the most fascinating thing to me is how you get this song from nothing. That's the real talent. And
you know, I think after a while you have this radar where you start playing something on guitar and you think, oh, that's kind of cool. And if
you don't sit down and play that on purpose, you're just playing whatever comes.
I don't even know how to read music, you know. So when I write something, if I can't remember it, then if it's not worth remembering, then I just don't even care about it, you know. And I have a little tiny cassette recorder that if I think something is cool, I'll put it on that. And you know, and then getting together with the band, you just sort of arrange
It's the same way you would have done it if you were 14 years old in a garage band. It's the same thing. Okay, hey, try do this four times, and I'll do this twice. And here, you try this, and I'm gonna. And then when it comes to writing lyrics, this album was different, where we recorded one song at a time. A lot of bands don't do that. They'll record all the drums first, and then they'll put the bass on, and then they'll put the guitar on. This one, we wanted to. We wouldn't move on to a song, to the next song until the one we were working on was finished. So.
Now, that's another question that seems difficult, is how do you know when it's finished? It seems like you can always
That was one of the things about using the analog tape was, you know, we didn't have unlimited amounts of tracks. It's 24-track tape. So you had 24 spaces to fill. 10 of them were drums. 4 of them were guitars. 2 of them were bass or whatever, and the rest were vocals. And then that was just all you get. Hmm. And so you just had to make sure that that stuff, that what you were going to do made sense, and you had to make it count, you know. And it was great. And I was writing the lyrics to each song as we were recording it. And after we finished, I listened to it all. I'm like, oh, I just wrote an album about the making of the album. That's kind of cool.
When you write lyrics in the studio, and this has always been fascinating to me, and I know some artists can't do it, don't you ever look back on it afterwards and go, wow, I wish I would have had more time. I might have done something differently on that song.
You know, this album, no, not at all. But albums before, yes. This album, these lyrics are some of the best lyrics I've ever written, and I'm really happy with all of them. I wouldn't change one thing. But there are other records where I was sitting in front of the mic with a pen and the producer saying, okay, Dave, anything yet?
Anything
really
coming?
At all? And I just write out some nonsense.
Some filler, and then it ended up being the song.
And then it's a hit.
That's how
sing
songs.
It every night.
Hey, are you allowed to change the lyrics? I mean, do people get mad at you if you sing something else?
Sometimes I change them because I had too many beers and I just forgot them.
But people recognize it because they know the songs, they know the words, they're singing along, and all of a sudden they're not.
And then you just scream and go, and then it's all good.
Let's give away these tickets we've been promoting for Foo Fighters Back and Forth, the documentary screening tonight, followed by a live 3D performance from the band playing the entirety of the new album, Wasting Light. If you want to go, you can call right now at 1-800-520-1067. Now, I'm not exactly what they're going to tell you when you call, because it's playing at theaters all over, and I don't know which theater you're going to be going to, so you're going to have to work that out with Chip on the phones. But you can call right now. I think we have 3 pairs of tickets at 1-800-520-1067. I can't believe we're out of time already, but it flies by every time you're in here.
Always
Mr.
flies by.
Yeah. Really fun
coming here.
The albums.
We
sounds
love
great.
And need your music so much. We're so happy when Foo Fighters are back. Oh, yes, thank God.
Yeah, we found that there's usually a decline in popular music when we're not around. And you're welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And,
but John, we'd like it to come more often. If you could put out like an album every 6 months.
We don't want people to get sick of us, though. That's the thing. It's been that little montage of music that you play. I felt like that was about 2 minutes too long.
And James, great to meet you. Congratulations on the movie, man. Really
Thanks, looks
fantastic. Can't appreciate wait to see it. All right, Dave Grohl, we'll take a break. Come back. Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat right after this on the Kevin and Bean. That is a very different sound from Foo Fighters. I got to be honest. I never, ever saw that coming with
that
those
was,
guys right there.
Mumford & Sons.
Hey, Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday Kevin and Bean show. What's going on?
Sup?
Nope.
Sup, yo?
Nope. I don't know that that's you.
No?
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope.
Boy.
What's going on? What's happening now? Why is Flava Flav doing the show this report?
Channeling my inner brother.
I see.
Your inner brother is white.
Oh, well, yeah. He's my brother.
Good news for you.
Before I get to showbiz news, I have some tickets to give away. This Saturday in Los Angeles, California, will be the premiere.
Not interested.
Oh, how dare you. The premiere of Kevin Smith's new film, Red State.
I didn't
know what it was going to be. Red State. Los Angeles premiere happens this Saturday night at the Wiltern Theater. It's not just any old screening. You get to see the movie, and then there is a Q&A. And Kevin Smith's been on tour with this film for about a month now. Usually, the Q&A is with Kevin, and he can certainly fill your Q with all the A in the world.
He's got a lot of A.
He's got a lot of A.
Yeah.
But in this particular case, because it's here in Los Angeles, the entire cast will be up on stage. We're talking John Goodman, Oscar winner Melissa Leo. Michael Parks is the star of the film. James Parks, his son. Myself. Nicholas Braun. Kyle Gallner. I mean, just everybody is going to be there. Stephen Root will be there. It's going to be an
amazing. Now, you're
going to
be up on stage, or you're going to be asking questions of the cast from your seat?
How dare you, sir?
I'm coming.
What?
Yeah. I'm going to shout, "Hey, Ralph, what are you doing up there?"
And I'm going to drop my pants and show you my lily white Irish ass and say, "Kiss it."
Seen it.
Anyway, if you'd like to go, I've got one pair of passes to give away. It's a hard ticket to get, but I pulled some strings. And I got a pair of passes to give away, but I don't want to give away just anybody. I want to give it away to a real Kevin Smith fan. So here's your trivia question. One of my personal favorite Kevin Smith films is Dogma. Just tell me what singer-songwriter played God in Dogma. Ooh, ooh, Who played God in Dogma? Call right now, 1-800-520-1067. First person through with the correct answer scores a pair of passes to see Red State. Not your usual Kevin Smith film, by the way. You're expecting a lot of laughs. You're going to be disappointed. That's all I'm saying. All right, let's talk about showbiz news. Anybody watch The Borgias this weekend? The Borgias?
I don't know what that is.
How is
I did not.
The Borgias is the it's Showtime's new series based on the Italian family from 1492. We just lost Kevin. That was sort of like the archetype for all crime families that came afterwards in Italy.
Oh, so like this could the be original mafia?
Exactly. This could be sourced back to like the original mafia family.
You got me back.
I got you back?
Yeah, I love the mafia.
Yeah. This is, just think the original Godfather, if you will. Jeremy Irons stars in the film, and apparently largest premiere ever for a series on Showtime in 7 years. Huge, huge numbers this weekend for the Borgias.
How come also, it has to be that title?
Because that was their name.
Well, they need to change it.
They can't. They lived in 1492.
Same. It's a bad title.
The Kennedys also did very well for themselves. First episode on Reels Channel. The Reels Channel, with a Z, pulled in just under 2 million viewers, which was a record for the channel, as you can imagine, because it's the Reels Channel.
Yeah.
It's usually Leonard Maltin in his house. Like, you watch him, like, cooking or something. It's just like a security camera. Or it's some old movie or something. So Reels Channel did very well for themselves as well. More movie news. Will Smith and his son Jaden are teaming up to star in a new film.
All right.
Written and directed by M. Night Shyamalan. This movie has everything.
We're not going to get Will Smith without kids anymore, are we?
Nope. It's a package deal.
Wow.
Love me, love my children. That's the Smith motto over there at their household. Apparently the plot is a father and son crash-landed on an abandoned planet. And they go off looking for adventure.
All right.
So not going to go see this movie. Boy, am I not. I'm going to aggressively not go. I'm going to walk in the opposite direction of every theater I can find to show how much I'm not going.
GPS it, so you're sure you're going in the opposite direction.
Exactly. Yeah. Former Oasis singer Liam Gallagher's new band BDI has recorded a song for charity. A lot of bands are doing this now, trying to raise money for the Red Cross Japan Tsunami Appeal, which is very nice. BDI recorded a Beatles song. Here's a surprise. The Gallagher's recording a Beatles song. The group made Across the Universe available as a download on iTunes for 99 cents. All the proceeds will go directly towards tsunami relief in Japan. So if you're interested, you can check that out. You can go to bdimusic.com or you can go to iTunes if you'd like to find it.
I have a clip, and I know that Liam Gallagher is a huge Beatles fan, but it's just shocking to me how much he sounds like John Lennon on this track, if you want to hear a little bit of it.
I'd love to.
I mean, seriously, right? Are you sure that's not John Lennon?
I know, that's what I thought too, is they pulled the vocal off the old record to put it out as a BDI, but that's Liam right there. Listen to this part.
Yeah.
I mean, crazy, right? Crazy.
How far are you going to go? How deep in are you?
We got a lot more?
We can continue.
I'm just saying.
I'm just saying.
It's one thing to play it, but then to keep selling.
I thought Bean performed admirably on that one. The pre-sell was great, and then he continued it right.
Is there anyone who believed I actually had the BDI song?
No.
Yes, I did for a second, because Bean likes to stay current.
Yeah.
I do like to stay current.
There is that.
Speaking of songs for Japan, that's the name of a new CD that comes out today as well. Various artists have donated their talents and songs to be on this double CD set. Proceeds from this also go towards relief in Japan. Here's your lineup. U2, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Beyonce, Lady Gaga, Foo Fighters, Justin Bieber, Katy Perry, Rihanna, and many, many more. So you can check that out.
and pick it up in stores near you or Amazon.com.
Wow, Foo Fighters put a little more work into a new album, a little less into this charity thing.
They've got a new album, Kevin. We just spent about 45 minutes talking about their new album.
Oh. Kevin was just thinking, why haven't we heard from Dave Grohl in so long?
How did this food get in my mouth? Today's celebrity birthday is Roger Corman, legendary producer and director, 85 years old today. Actor Mitch Pileggi from X-Files is 59. And Pharrell Williams, rapper and producer, is 38 years old today. Do we have a winner to my trivia question?
We do.
Let's talk to Josh. Josh?
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, Josh, you a Kevin Smith fan?
Yeah, actually I am.
All right. In the movie Dogma, who played God?
Alanis Morissette.
Alanis Morissette is correct.
Yay!
No lines in that movie for her, by the way.
Interesting. I didn't realize that.
Yeah. She's a silent god.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Silent but deadly.
Yeah, that's what they called her.
Right.
Yeah. God must be around someplace. Congratulations, Josh. Hold on. We're going to give you all the details, but you're going to see Red State, the brand new Kevin Smith film, this Saturday night at the Wheel Turn.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
You bet. All right, buddy. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Woo! 106.7 K-Rock is K-Rock.
Woo!
Got it? It is 9:40. It's 9:44.
Woo! 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 Woo!
What's happening right now?
What are you doing, Ralph? What's going on?
It's wooing.
Hey, a complaint email real quick before we get to Ralph and the showbiz beat. This is from Rick, who writes in, so I turn on the radio today expecting to listen to Kevin and Bean. Instead, I hear two guys trying to talk a girl into not getting bigger boobs.
Thank
WTF.
You. Thank you, sir. Thank you
Very
for
confused.
Voicing the opinion of all the men on the show.
You've met Christine. You
yes,
know
I
we
have.
Were we weren't lying when we said that she's perfect just the way she is. Why screw
yep.
with that?
Wouldn't be any less perfect with her boobs a little bigger. That's all I'm saying. Would be just as perfect. Maybe even a little bit more perfect.
I did find it hard to believe that Bean was actually on the side of not getting them bigger because he does seem to take that.
It wouldn't hurt anybody if she got him a little bigger.
Yeah, but you know what? There's that German porn star who died a couple of months ago after getting her sixth breast enlargement. I do think there is additional risk every time you go back in for more surgery, and it worries me.
Okay, Dr. House. Well, you just hobble down the hallway with your cane and let the rest of us worry about Christine's boobs.
Because I don't want anything bad to happen to Christine.
She's not
That's
getting her sixth operation. She's not getting her seventh operation.
Right.
It's just a little touch up.
She's
just
got double D's.
Up. Yeah, okay.
All right.
How about double D's? How about that?
All right.
I'm just saying, a little bit's not going to hurt anybody.
Either way.
Yeah.
All right. Time for one more look at the showbiz beat. Now, here's Ralph Graham.
Speaking of emails, we were talking about disappointments when you met your heroes.
Yes.
And I thought I would bring this one up because I feel for Kelsey. This one is tough. When I was about 8 years old, I skipped school and drove with my mom to her work building because she said the Power Rangers were filming there. Of course, I was freaking excited because the Power Rangers were my heroes.
Sure.
And I wanted to be just like the Yellow Ranger. Kelsey is a girl who writes us, by the way. I saw her walking around. I was about to walk up to her and say hello. When I was about 10 feet away from her, she took off her helmet, and imagine my surprise when a man's head was attached to the woman's body. I was so disappointed to find out that they had men stuntmen dressing up as the Pink and Yellow Rangers for the fight scenes. That's the worst hero letdown of all.
Wait, it's a dude!
You're going to meet the beautiful yellow Power Ranger. She's your hero. You want to be just like her. She pulls off her helmet. It's a guy!
Yeah, that's...
That hurts.
That's going to be the worst one.
That person can't pull off their helmet.
And at 8, that's going to change you sexually. I'm convinced that's going to...
A rattle, life of confusion.
That is going to rattle your sexual preferences for some time to come. Now, Kelsey doesn't know where to sleep, but men, women, she doesn't know what she's doing anymore. Because that freaking Power Ranger encounter.
That's a little scary.
Be careful what's under the helmet, parents. That's all I'm saying.
Especially since that was the female empowerment that probably got her, like, powered her up through the day.
Right.
I mean, that made her
sure.
feel good about herself and her sex.
Yes. And there was a dude in there.
Yeah.
A dude with boobs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No?
No. Oh. It wasn't one of those, but it never could be more apropos than in this particular email.
That's the word, dude.
It all tied
looks
in.
Looks like a lady. And...
No, I agree, Kevin.
All right. Back to you.
How much would you spend to see Kate Winslet naked?
She's been naked in a bunch of movies already. Are you talking about in person or what?
Well,
yeah, being just for you.
Yeah,
she's coming
apparently,
to your house.
Kate now is harder for cash, and she's whoring herself out. She'll show up to your house nude.
Then I'm in.
I'd pay a lot.
Well, it turns out over the weekend
they
auctioned off the original famous prop sketch
of nude Kate from Titanic. Remember that scene in the film where Leonardo DiCaprio sketches her in the nude?
Yes. Oh, yeah. There's a little booby in that picture, if I recall.
Oh, yeah. Not to mention that big-ass jewel she's got around her neck.
Yeah, that one.
That one.
Of course, that's what you meant.
Famous prop. Auctioned some stuff from Titanic off over the weekend. What do you think it went for, that sketch?
Well, it's one of the most popular movies ever. Yes. And certainly a memorable scene from that film.
There's only one sketch.
A lot, I guess.
$100,000.
No, only $16,000.
Really?
Surprise. Wow. Yeah. Just 16 grand.
Huh.
Interesting side note, by the way. The sketch was sketched by... Do you know who drew that sketch for that film?
Mm-mm.
Oh, Muggs raising his hand. You know, it's radio. We can't see your hand.
Oh, sorry.
Yes, Muggs. What is your guess?
James Cameron.
Director James Cameron was the guy who did that sketch.
Wow.
There is his one more time. His hands in the movie when you see the sketch being made. He is smart. That's one smart director. Yeah, Kate, we're going to need to sketch you in the nude. So what I need you to do is just lay naked for me on this couch, and I'll do the sketch.
You know, why go out of our way and get a guy come in and everything? I'll just do the sketch. Just get naked.
Yeah.
Oh,
I
got to start over.
Shoot. Forget this one. This doesn't look like you at all. Let's do this again.
That doesn't do you justice.
4 days later. James, I'm chafing. Shut up!
Drawing.
Having said that, it's even more shocking that it only went for $16,000.
I know. I love the collectibles news. You know me.
You do.
Today's Tuesday. That means new DVDs and CDs are in stores. Here's what you can get today. Songs for Japan. This is a 2-CD set. Various artists have contributed their songs to raise money for relief for the folks who are suffering from the earthquake and tsunami over there in Japan. By the way, everyone's sort of moved on over here. You know, people, it's still in the news, but not nearly as much attention as it was getting.
Right.
And I think that's the time, really, when fundraising needs help the most. After the emotional shock is sort of worn off and people have already contributed, and the need continues, maybe more than ever. So if you're going to contribute and you haven't yet, this might be the good time to do it.
I'm waiting for your birthday.
It's for you.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
write that check.
This is your birthday present. Writing a check to Japan. Enjoy. Anyway, you can do it easily by picking up this CD. It's a painless way to give. U2, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Beyonce, Lady Gaga, Foo Fighters, Justin Bieber, Katy Perry, Rihanna, many, many more available on that disc. 38 songs, I believe, wow. If I'm not mistaken. So there's your opportunity to buy songs for Japan. Also, the Tron Legacy Reconfigured soundtrack by Daft Punk is available today, and American Tragedy by Hollywood Undead. Speaking of Tron on DVDs, Tron Legacy is available today. Jeff Bridges and Olivia Wilde star in that film. If you never saw the original, Tron the Classic has been re-released in a special edition. That's available. The Chronicles of Narnia, The Voyage of the Dawn Treader is available today as well. Little Fockers with Ben Stiller and Robert De Niro. And I Love You, Philip Morris, starring Jim Carrey and Ewan McGregor, also available today. Speaking of Japan, you know, there's just radiation just pouring into the ocean, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That concerns me.
It does, me too. Initially, I was like, oh, well, you know, I know there are accidents, but there are safeguards in place for these nuclear reactors. The people step in, and they'll get it under control. I don't know what's going on.
I read the headline that the ocean can handle it.
Sure.
Is what the headline was.
What's the headline going to be?
Ocean can't handle it.
I don't think they're in trouble. I don't think they're going to publish that story.
Ocean needs help.
Well, ocean's tapping out. I don't think they're ever going to publish that. They're going to tell us it's all fine until we get the third eyes on our foreheads.
Let's say, well, now you can see three times as well.
Look at the upside.
It's got to be BS if you're the ocean, though, and now this is just the latest thing that's coming at you. You got to be like, come on. Yeah,
really?
What are you doing to me?
Oil spills and radiation. Really? Do you just, what, you hate shrimp? What's going on? What's the problem?
We need to talk to the ocean.
Let's talk to the ocean. Let's get out the Wheel of Natural Disasters and spin it tomorrow and see who we talk to.
Right. I like it.
Will Smith and his son Jaden should be committed because they're doing an M. Night Shyamalan movie together. Written and directed by M. Night Shyamalan. At what point do we say, no more from you, sir?
Yeah.
Apparently the film
is... Two movies ago?
About an adult and his son. I don't know who's going to play who. Will and Jaden are starring. They crash land on an abandoned planet and they have to try to survive. Making a movie with M. Night Shyamalan.
Sure.
So, there you go.
I'm not comfortable with the nepotism involved here. However, I hear that Jaden is a perfectly serviceable kid actor. I hear that he's not terrible.
He's serviceable, exactly.
And that's what you look for in your movies.
Right.
Can I have more serviceable actors, please? That's really what
But I mean, he doesn't. He's not embarrassing the family name by being in films, I guess is what I'm saying.
No, Willow already took care of that.
Kevin Federline and his girlfriend Victoria Prince, according to Star Magazine, neither of them are that thrilled about her being pregnant.
Oh, good.
That's the way you want to bring a baby into the world. Kevin is tired from the four kids he already has, according to friends, and Victoria doesn't want to lose her great body or free time.
She's right.
Ah, boy, they are going to make parents.
You know, they should have thought of that.
Kevin.
Both of them.
We've talked about this before. There's no way you can prevent conception. It's just that science has not gotten that far yet.
Damn you, science.
It's God's will, Kevin. Come on.
I've heard there were scientists in Japan who said, soon after we get this radiation problem fixed, we're going to get on birth control. So who knows when we're going to get to it. Today's celebrity birthday is Roger Corman, legendary producer and director. He's 85 years old today. Actor Mitch Pileggi from X-Files turns 59. And Pharrell Williams, rapper and producer, is 38 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Tomorrow morning, an all-new program. We have Jason Ellis talking about Ellis Mania. We have Kevin Smith in the studio talking about Red State.
Hack.
We have Eric Bana on tomorrow's show talking about Hannah.
Eric Bana from Hannah?
Yep. We have Adam Carolla with This Week in Rage. Hey. We have a brand new internet roundup. We got a pretty good show tomorrow.
I'd listen to that.
I would,
too. And that's saying a lot for me.
It's tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean.